Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. We're about to go down the rabbit hole right now. Brace yourselves.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today.
Share the live feed now. Share it now. When the hydrogen bombs are detonating and you're sitting in your house or office and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you. That's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout. And then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way, and all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. And it's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guns. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance. Well, that was hardcore. Important piece that Darren McBreen put together off of my rant on Monday. And it's just another variation on what I've been saying for years on the globalist plan to collapse society. The Great Reset is to create a total collapse of the third world, a semi-collapse of the first world. They'll have these fortified, high-tech, globalist cities that are city-states that are above the law. Think Vatican City, think Israel, think the city of London within London, the banking city, think the District of Columbia in D.C. That is the model that the world devolves into. No more nation states, only city states, and then a global corporate government. That is their official plan. So when you see a movie or read the books, Hunger Games, you think, oh, they're copying Hunger Games. No, Hunger Games, and the author was projecting forward on the world, the Club of Rome and the UN by the 60s, said they want to build. And of course, I've been talking about this for 30 plus years, made the seminal film Endgame about it, 2007. You watch that film, it's more powerful today than when I made it. It's infinity green, not evergreen. So they want a dystopic world. They want one that's more dystopic, like when O'Brien is torturing Winston in 1984, and he says, we want a world of trampling and being trampled upon, one that gets uglier and stupider. He was number two in the Fabian Socialist, top of the globalist think tank food chain. In World War II, chief propagandist at the BBC, and he broke with them. And he wrote a bunch of essays and articles explaining this is the real plan of what they want. Do you understand dystopia by design? I know it's hard to believe, but look around you. Trump came out and said, I want siege of Iran. I want the strait closed. Israel says they want it closed. It hurts Iran. Hurts us too. It's out of control, ladies and gentlemen. All of this is war against civilization. All of this is war against prosperity to make you poor, to control you. It has a name. It's called feudalism. And we're going under neo-feudalistic fascism, but we're going to stop it together. Their next pandemic, their next war, we've got the pull to do it together. So share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and at AlexJonesLive.com. Do it now and on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Take action now, Paul Revere. ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. I'm your embattled host, Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting worldwide. Wednesday Live, DSA. Francisca Hong loses Wisconsin primary after being endorsed by far-left anti-white communist Islamicist Hassan Piker, who admitted he wants to destroy the white race. I'm on air right now exposing this guy. Now, Piker's attacked me for over a decade. He is heavily involved with Cuban intelligence, just like the mayor and of Los Angeles and many others. He is truly a globalist Soros operative of the worst kind. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to expose him and go through many of the things he said, because this has finally captured the public's attention. He is emblematic of liberation theology developed by the Central Intelligence Agency and deployed through the Communist Party since the 1950s against America and the West. You have to understand, this guy is not some whack job anomaly in the things he says and does. This is the plan. And if you want to understand the plan, you need to listen to him. Now, I've been talking about him off and on for a decade, but we'll do a deep dive on him today, because finally the public's ready to listen, and they've done polling in the few areas where hardcore Democrat Socialist of America communists are losing in primaries against Democrats that are still terrible, but not 10% as bad, is when Piker endorses them and people actually go look at what he said and what he's done. And then they run ads using his statements, meeting with the candidates and endorsing him. But this guy is basically Mondami's brain. But this is what Mondami believes, and we've got similar statements, a little bit more watered down, that mirror what Piker has said. So coming up at the bottom of the hour, I've got 10 horrible clips. In fact, get even more. Those are just the ones I sent the crew. There's so many, it makes your head spin. So just fire at will. Grab me even more. I was thinking this is a lot of clips, but, you know, 10's not enough. There's hundreds of foaming at the mouth evil. And this is not edgelording. He doesn't do this to sound shocking. This is who these people are. You go to a Democrat demonstration, you go to one of their events, whether it's in Texas or Wisconsin or New York or California or Florida, anywhere, even red states, and you will hear exactly out of his mouth what you're hearing out of his mouth, you will hear out of their mouths. So this guy is not some anomaly. This is who they are. And as I've said 1,000 times or more, all we got to do is show what they say and what they do and what they stand for. And if we simply do that, they will fail. But we've got to have our own media institutions. We've got to have our own platforms. because even the Republican establishment won't go after this. The Democrats will defend it. It's unbelievable. They will eliminate the white race. They will impoverish the white race. They will murder capitalists and watch our streets run red with their blood. Their plan is to import so many foreigners, they will eliminate the white race. These are quotes. They plan on raping white women and white children. America deserved 9/11 with Ilhan Omar with him on his show agreeing and laughing. They will kill all the infidels, non-Muslims. Destroy policies that don't support communism. It goes on and on. But Hassan Piker's touch of death, far left. Francesca Hong loses Wisconsin Dem primary for governor by big percentage points to a guy they're calling moderate, who I would call just a classic out of control, bankrupt the country, America sucks leftist. But that's the Overton window has been drugged so much by Piker and Mondami and all the rest of them that the mainline Democratic Party is a bunch of foaming at the mouth, America-hating, anti-white, anti-Christian demons. And this is being taught at the universities. This is being taught everywhere. The majority of Democrats now think like this guy that are below the age of 50. The Democrat boomers, just like a lot of Republican boomers, not all of them, but are in la-la land and don't even know or understand what's going on here. But it is absolutely unbelievable. This guy is Lenin on steroids. And Lenin, of course, when he ran the Soviet Union for several decades, killed over 30 million Christians in Russia and its satellites and directly went out and killed them. And so this is the game plan. This is the goal. This is what they want to do. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But here's what I want to do. I have all this incredible news and all these other incredible clips and all these insane science developments and the whole house of cards and the poison shots imploding in real time to the point of the Trump administration having at least paid lip service that we were right, which just shows we're winning the culture war, the war for hearts and minds. But I want to open the phones up specifically on the culture war and the future of America and the West and what you think we should all do, including most brown people that are Americans do not buy into communism and socialism and kill the whitey. They're just like your average white person, just wants to live in a secure, free country. How do we not let the left, who have openly said, we're going to make it racial, we're going to attack the whites, we're going to let people out of jail that kill and attack and rape whites, and that is going to invoke whites becoming super racist and out of survival mechanism, you can't even blame them. And then they have the divide and conquer. What they're worried about is whites coming together with others under Christianity, under nationalism, under capitalism, and saying we celebrate the West, we celebrate everybody's background and heritage, we recognize the West and whites are under attack by the globalists because it stands in the way of their great reset and their global divide and conquer system. And we all repudiate the anti-Western, anti-capitalist, anti-white left, and we see them for what they are, totalitarianism 2.0. That is what the globalists fear, because they want the divide and conquer. And if we do just play into their plan and at one level come together as whites but say we hate everybody who isn't white, then the globalists have won long term, particularly because the world's 93% non-white, and they'll always be able to find a big enough section of poor, starving, third world males that they can bring in and program and brainwash to be anti-white. And if we don't expose how the whole manipulation works, people will then, at a primal, gladiatorial, tribal, gang level, just make it about race instead of ideology, and then they will win in the divide and conquer. But I'm not saying we don't be proud of being white, we don't stand up for our heritage, we don't, you know, sit there and stand up against those that are demonizing us, but you have to expose the entire paradigm as well and explain what the larger game is, or people will basically fall for the overall divide and conquer stratagem and believe that they're going to get success and power and money if they can just destroy the white race. The communists, up until the 50s, tried to sell black Americans and Hispanics on classic communism. And they were informed enough and smart enough to know that's a load of crap. They want to just make us basically their slaves. And so the communists and the CIA promoted it, and the colleges promoted it, created liberation theology to say it's class warfare based on race, not based on communism versus capitalism, and they were extremely, extremely successful. And so this is liberation theology. This is what this is, and saying you will be successful when we kill the white race, when we impoverish the white race, when we don't give white males a job. We're not talking about giving a hand to people who've been disadvantaged. We're not talking about going out and finding leaders in every group and promoting them through meritocracy, but also with some support, with some tutelage, with some backing, with some apprenticeship. That's wonderful. Going out and being an apprentice to someone who's poor and white and disadvantaged, or poor and black and disadvantaged, or but shows the signs of leadership and that just needs the proper tutelage. No. This is the opposite of that. This is white males need not apply in the UK, in Canada, universities across the US, corporate jobs, government jobs, the UK. No white men can apply to be police. No white men can apply to be a professor. I mean, the literal mass discrimination of that, and you see it everywhere, and 70% of the college graduates in the Western world being women, statistically men in general in deep trouble, being pushed under economically, but white men more than anybody else, there is an open attack. But you've got to realize the master plan in it and transcend the first level of it. Doesn't mean you're not tribal at some level and stand up for yourself. Doesn't mean that because there's a bunch of dumbed down tribal people that are against you because you're white, that you shouldn't at one level organize at a tribal level and be proud of being white. But at the larger level, you've got to see the mass engineering of it, and you've got to have outreach programs that transcend this, because if we just get divided off into battles groups to attack each other, the globalists, the bankers, the New World Order, the ADL have won. And that's where it's backfired on the ADL, because they want to make it all anti-Christian, anti-white. And a lot of folks are smart enough to figure out, wait, who's doing that? Who's creating this anti-white thing? Who's pushing that? And that's why the ADL lobby and others in the BlackRock lobby are so scared now, because their anti-Western, anti-capitalist, anti-white, anti-Christian program just backfired, and people were smart enough to go, who is actually the hierarchy? Who actually are the billionaires? Who actually has the real wealth? Because you're saying the white people have it. Sorry, they don't on average. When you talk about below the billionaire level, half the world's billionaires are Jewish. In fact, it's 55%. Now, you can look it up. Just type in, what percentage of the world's billionaires are Jewish? Half or more. Okay, great. Most of them worked hard, businesses, whatever. Great. Okay, let's just stick around and say that. Okay, fine. When you take out billionaires from the equation and you look at a demographic in the West, particularly America, of who are the wealthiest people by race per capita, the first nine groups are Asians. Then it's Arabs, Middle, and then it's whites, then it's Hispanics, and then it's blacks. Whites are way down the totem pole, not even up at the middle. And go out in the country, drive around through most neighborhoods or the businesses. I mean, look at the cars white people are getting out. Look what they're wearing. It ain't a bunch of rich white people running around here, but somehow they've convinced people because, oh, there's a big middle-class neighborhood, and they, you know, the whites have got nice cars and got boats, and their next-door neighbors are Indians and blacks and Hispanics that have got middle-class money, making a few hundred thousand a year. That's not the rich. That's not the elite. Yeah, look at this breakdown. Crew just pulled it up. I didn't pre-plan this with them. They just live-time pull up whatever I say. When they're ready for it, they'll put it on screen. So look at that. Taiwanese, Asian, Indian, Sri Lankan, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, all Asian, non-Hispanic, all white, non-Hispanic, Filipino, Pakistani, Indonesian. Wow, where's the... Yeah, oh, there's the whites. oh, my God, the whites aren't the... And again, that's a different, little bit different breakdown. It's normally about nine groups. They just combine some of them there. But there you go. And then there's different census tables, and that's an older one. There's updated ones. It's accelerating where the whites are actually, that's an older one, have gone down on that bar. But you notice I just told you off memory, and there it is. So see, but oh my God, you go to the university, all you hear is white people just have buckets of diamonds and rubies and palaces and are just flopping around and, oh, so wonderful. And that's just not true. But the issue is that the average white person, statistically, you look it up, who's upper middle class or wealthy, owns businesses, owns factories, owns car dealerships, owns computer local companies, whatever. So it's actually production here, ladies and gentlemen. Things are being done here. People are employed. But to say that white people are the world's elite is not true. White people were the countries that produce the free market and produce the global wealth. But now that's all been transferred to the 0.1% that controls 89% of world wealth. And I know most of the listeners are informed and know this, but I'm talking to young college students that are tuning in that hear Mondami and people saying, look, and that hear Hassan Piker, when we get those white people, when we kill those white people, when we rape their women, when we breed them out, and I can show you thousands of other leftists saying that. I mean, this is Hitler stuff, but from the brown people. This is what the majority of these people are pushing, and they're saying that if you just go attack the white people and you don't let white people have a job, and you don't let white people even put in an application, and you don't let white people go to college, and you target white men, that you're going to get all this wealth. No, what you're going to get is a bunch of pissed off white people and a bunch of pissed off white males who are now going to see you as the enemy. And then the bankers sit back and laugh at all of us fighting each other while they win. It's that simple. It's called divide and conquer, called the great game, called balkanization. Look those terms up, boys and girls. I know most of you know, but for those that don't, look it up. This is so simple. And Hassan Piker and others are following the exact program. When Mondami gets up and talks about all these rich white people he's going to get and all these rich white people he's going to come after, he knows that's all a lie, but he's making communism race-based because he doesn't want to call himself an open communist. So I said I'd get to Mondami and Piker at the bottom of the hour. I'm already doing it, but I'll get to the clips coming up. So I want to play this piece again. We just aired at the start of the show. Some stations don't care. The first five's going to air it now. McBreen put out this quick, amazing video off of just a rant I did on Monday, just a few days ago, dealing with the collapse of civilization and what the globalists want to build. And the world they want to build, if we keep going down this road, will devolve into collapse. And then very quickly, within weeks, it always then coalesces, civilization comes back at the first level as the warlord, with just a few hundred people. And then that warlord fights other warlords and goes to thousands of people. And then those warlords fight, and a new warlord rises with tens of thousands of people. And with the warlords, it's all about who can bring back civilization. Who are doctors? Who are engineers? With fighting men? Who can farm? Who can scavenge equipment? And so in a collapse, hard times make strong men. To everybody out there, you need to know, in the hard times, it's going to be the strong men that are going to rebuild civilization. But by the very nature of it, even though you don't want to be a warlord, same thing that happens in the third world when it collapses, this will be the first level in anarchy that comes out of this. And the collapse is so bad, our system is so precarious, that if the collapse happens, it will collapse the Pentagon. It will collapse the Department of Energy. The hundreds of nuclear reactors will melt down and explode and be far worse than nuclear war. And then out of this nightmare, you will have the rise of warlords, and then they will fight each other and then form new countries, new regions, and then civilization will slowly come back. In some cases, it takes hundreds of years. In some cases, it takes 1,000 years. In many cases, it just takes a few decades for the normal cycle to build back up into a civilization. But it just won't be warlords coming to fight your local warlord when we go to the system. Then it will undoubtedly be foreign armies like the Chinese who hope to sit this out and not be part of it. Then coming in their official plan to take control, and you'll be facing foreign armies. This is the real reset. This is you will own nothing and be happy. This is the new world order. This is the logical extension of the lockdowns and the carbon taxes and the post-industrial world. And the globalists believe they can incrementally turn everything off, have robots replace you, have you stay in your house, controlled by your smartphone, as they incrementally turn off civilization resources. But Elon Musk, myself, and others have told them, your plan won't work. People will organize and resist it because they know you're the bad guys turning off the resources. Your plan can only work if people aren't aware that it's a premeditated operation and if you are seen as the saviors. So we've already checkmated them on that. The problem is they've already put things into play that are causing the organized design collapse. And so now the big question is, can we innovate? Can we bring out the disruptive technologies, as they call them, like free energy and life extension and just all the other incredible developments that have happened and stop the neo-feudalist, globalist, great reset model that they've been on, that the Club of Rome has been in policy creating for the WEF and the UN and the globalists to implement? Can we get off the Bill Gates plan and get onto a team humanity, team human plan? And the only person at super high levels promoting that is Elon Musk. But there are many other people below him that are promoting it. You can say he's real, he's not, it doesn't matter. He's the only one in words and in action saying have children, saying don't get rid of fossil fuels, saying build up the West, saying shut down communism, saying end the racial divides and divide and conquer and get rid of the communists and socialists in the West, suppressing everyone trying to bring in this great reset. So the question is, can we shut down the Great Reset? And we've been politically defeating it. It's totally unpopular. Many of its main policies, like carbon taxes, are failing. But still, the overall agenda is rolling forward, and the clock is ticking. So this piece is so powerful, I don't even know what we call it. We're going to post it to X soon. But, I mean, are you ready for the Great Reset? Viewer discretion advised. Are you ready? Here it is. Detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later you see a flash of red coming at you. That's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter.
All right, let's stop here.
And then I normally am dead on with the clock. You'll notice I'll play a promo or a video piece or a clip before the break, and it's to the second perfect, because I can just see the clock. I'm so wound up right now that the promo is like 3 minutes long, not a minute and a half long. So we're going to come back with it on the other side right out of the break. But I want to open the phones up, and I want to have a discussion with all of you. And I want you to understand, you heard me decades ago warn of the globalist incremental collapse plan, show you their own documents, their own emissions. Now you're living in the middle phase of it. Do you want it to continue? Or do you believe me now this is real? This is dystopia by design, my friends. And I don't care what damn color you are, you got red blood, and God made you. And if you think the globalist and their divide-and-conquer anti-white, anti-Christian plan is there to empower you, you're crazy. Everybody better wake up and get on board with 1776 worldwide, or we're all screwed and most of us are dead. Join me or die. It's that simple.
I'll tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air. And I want you to really listen to me. And I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigley. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past, but this is Bigly doing it. And the key is it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. M-E-B-E-N-D-A-Z-O-L-E. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research. And they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went and I got it from a doctor. And it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas. Had already been pushing it on me for years. And I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo. The ivermectin and the mebendazole together. And they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician. And when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion. What I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week. But I tend to forget to do that. He's literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple of times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They don't have sexy names. IRCMOS, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research IRCMOS. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheAlexJonesStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
The globalists have set up a system to incrementally collapse civilization and depopulate the Earth by at least 90%. It is dystopia by design. It is the opposite of an expanding pro-human, pro-God, pro-family system. And the world they're bringing us to, it's already happening in the third world everywhere, collapses civilization, then gives rise to the warlords, and then the warlords battle it out and then later consolidate a new totalitarian country. Normally it breaks the old countries into pieces, and then the globalists come in and set up deals with them and rule over their populations through the totalitarian management system. They'll use communism, they'll use fascism, they'll use any of it. The globalists work with it all, but they don't want free, open societies, high-trust societies, where people can develop a middle class and be independent and upwardly mobile. They want you domesticated, they want you dumbed down, they want you controlled, and they openly and ultimately want you dead. Here's a potential near-future breakdown of the road we're on right now under the globalist, Klaus Schwab, King Charles, Global Reset.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating,
and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready, and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming sooner to contend with as we rebuild civilization. And it's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guns. We spare your lives.
I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
The American Experiment, 1776. The middle class, free market, due process, flies in the face of the globalist totalitarian system. They admit they have to destroy the idea because the rest of the world was building their systems after it, aspiring to it. It caused the world population to more than double in the last 150 years. We were the model. And then since the 50s, the globalists slipped in and shut down what America was, turned us into an engine of global tyranny. And here we are. And in this, you have the CIA and the think tanks and the tax-free foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, all of them, funding the left, funding the Red-Green Alliance, bringing in the Islamists, demonizing whites, demonizing George Washington, demonizing the Constitution and Bill of Rights that goes with it, so that people identify those rights enshrined and protected, not invented by our forebears, but enshrined there, protected there, as racist, as bad, as backward, so that we'll accept BlackRock and the Chi-Coms and the New World Order and Israel First and all the rest of it. The ADL teaches that Christianity and the West is evil and bad and global government is the answer. And, oh, you can't apply to be a police officer or a professor if you're white at these major cities and universities across the Western world. And Hassan Piker, popular talk show host, I've been covering him for 10 years. He's attacked me mercilessly. He's now captured the public's attention with his statements, and now they're running TV ads, the Democrats are, that aren't as hardcore globalists as him, or at least they actually, you know, want to win. You've had nothing but the Democratic Socialists of America winning all the primaries until suddenly now in just the last few days in two states, where people pointed out that Hassan Piker was buddies with these people and endorsed them. Hassan Piker's touch of death. Far-left Francisca Hong loses Wisconsin's Dem primary for governor against a guy that's a socialist globalist but doesn't openly say he hates America. So you want to stop the Mondami Piker wave that AOC has fully adopted, then you need to understand who we're up against and that these aren't anomalies. This is par for the course. And, of course, it should be added. You can look up Hassan Piker. He's an America-hating anchor baby. He works heavily with Cuban intelligence. Hassan Piker's parents' background and key details. That's who these people are. And he knows he's running a program of control. He knows that he's running a divide and conquer liberation theology. You don't know what that is? Look it up. Communism branded as racial identity. Capitalism is white, they say. And whites are the devil. Math is white supremacist. Logic is white supremacist. Being polite is white supremacist. White people marrying white people is white supremacist. Whiteness needs to be eradicated. Whiteness needs to be exterminated. You can just type that in. New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, Time Magazine, Atlantic. All the financial publications, Financial Times of London, Wall Street Journal. But in between, whites of the devil destroy whites. Also headlines like, looking forward to the end of humanity. We should get rid of all the humans. And there's Elon Musk last week reading the headlines. Look at these publications saying, get rid of all the humans. You see, but, oh, you can't sell that to everybody up front. Just say, oh, just get rid of the white people. And once you've set that precedent, now get rid of everybody. And imagine the fight that'll come out of that. Imagine what'll be done. Now, these clips are also horrible. There's really no way to even pick which one's the worst. We should exterminate all the whites. We're going to rape your daughters. We should kill, you know, anybody that's a Republican. Screw the black people. It goes on and on. I mean, look at that headline. Abolishing whiteness has never been more urgent. I mean, there's just thousands of these headlines. Professor of history at UC Irvine. And what is whiteness? Free market, private property. Privacy, you having rights. And it did come out of England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland and the Great Awakening and 1776 grew out of that. I mean, it's true. And it was England that banned slavery around the world. Oh, my God. And most of the inventions, the stock market, it goes on and on, was England. And you actually look at everything England and the people of England and Scotland and Ireland invented. Well, you really should thank these people. These are amazing people. But if you can demonize that, you see, you demonize innovation. And you can watch in live time as whites that are a 7% minority in the world are being extincted. Christians are 90% of religious persecution in the world. Most of the death is of Christians all over the world. Dem Senate candidate El Saeed defends ties to hate streamer Hassan Piker, hints at big tax increase for middle class. These are conquerors. These are people here to eat our lunch, brought in by the globalists to bring down the country, to sabotage us. Let's just play these back to back. Top Dem surrogate Hassan Piker says he loves the goal of impoverishing the white middle class, and they're doing it through their policies. Racist Muslim Hassan Piker, we are here to destroy the white race. Let's go ahead. You know what? I was going to stop and start these, but let's just go ahead because I've got hundreds of these, literally. Let's go ahead and play like 10 of them in a row right now. Because you could stop and start and comment on each one, but just listen to it and then think about the policies that are going on and think about Hitler didn't sound 10% this crazy and racist. So we're taught, oh, but tribalism only comes from whites. BS. Tribalism's worse. The West, through Christianity, invented shutting down tribalism and getting unified around policy, which is incredible. The most successful African countries and sectors are Christian. Because they have that as a unifier to stop the tribalism. And the UN comes in Rwanda and kills the Christians because they were the black minority. They were the Christian minority. They were in a black country. They were the Christian minority. And they had the most wealth because they were Christian, because they had a system that worked together, and they all got exterminated. And the UN said, oh, look at these blacks. They're only 10% of the population. They've got almost all the wealth that didn't exist 50 years ago, but it didn't matter. They were then killed, and the prosperity was gone because they killed the people that had the ideology that produced the prosperity. Let's just play all these back to back. Here they are.
Mandami's aide, his top aide, Sia Weaver, said, if you don't believe in the government's sacred right to seize property, it's over and impoverish the white middle class.
Beast mode. I love her so much. One of the things about Zoran is that the people surrounding him oftentimes are so much cooler than he is. But that's also part of the reason why I really respect what he's doing. She's awesome.
What? That's a
Trojan horse.
We are here to destroy the white race, bitch!
We'll be able to lean into their victories. So it'll be less difficult. It'll be easier to deliver our message. It'll be more difficult, though, because the establishment will not underestimate us. They will continue to undermine us, but they will not underestimate us. So, the knives will be out.
Luke, just a few days ago, Hillary Clinton was publicly strategizing on television about how they were going to make these Democrat socialists more palatable.
It's unconstitutional. I motherfuck Constitution and motherfuck this country, okay? You stupid bitch.
We're going to keep bringing in immigrants in this country on purpose, just so they can fuck your sister and then maybe even your daughter. We're going to destroy the white race, bitch. That's what we're here to do.
Humanitarian catastrophe.
This is a special gift for you.
Okay.
It's a room temperature. Okay,
how do you know?
It's a room temperature pure leaf iced tea.
Okay, this is like very, very embargoed information that I
did my research.
Wow, okay.
Did
you call one of my kids?
What makes you say that?
Because I don't know even if my staff would give you this information.
You have to
either like talk to my husband or my kids to get
specifically room temperature
or secretly find who my best friends are.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my God.
This is like Hot Ones, Sean Evans.
Now all of the Daily Mails and the
news. Oh, but that's not how politics works. Oh, well, Hassan, how dare you, like it or not? Stupid stance. Any other black folk want to engage in radical act? Yes, dude. It's because I'm racist. That's why. It's because I'm racist, dude. Go back to a better time when lynchings were happening. This is what I like as a black man. Are you always doing too much with black people? Leave them alone. I want to go back to lynching. Like, I get it, but relax. Man, shut the f*** up, okay? God damn. You got me, okay? You got me, because I'm a racist person. So much. In the middle of Norway, and get better internet than Los Angeles, California. And this is just like something that is just so routine, so silly, such a first world problem. But it is emblematic of all of America's much more consequential violence. Okay? It's the same reason as to why America... You stop. Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You're being such a baby. It's just... You're making her stressed. She just literally is so incredibly spoiled from my mom.
So what's an unsmoked Irishman? A mayonnaise monkey, I guess. A term used by black people in the U.S. as a way to describe white people based on their, quote, mayonnaise-like skin.
Bro, cum skin is way, way better of a deeper cut, in my opinion, cum skin. I think Mayo Monkey is like, it's low level, honestly. Like, Sun Dodger is funny. Cumskin gets right to the point. It's just like, there's no, it's indefensible. You got owned, you know what I mean?
Poor people that they can afford housing in Berkeley? I don't know how
my understanding of it is that the property owners who have properties there choose just not to rent it at all.
Because in the street, let the streets capitalist bloods, dude.
If you cared about Medicare fraud or Medicaid fraud, you would kill Rick Scott, okay? You wouldn't make Rick Scott, former governor of Florida Rick Scott, You wouldn't make him the current, what is his current office? What is he? He's the Richard Lynn Scott, is an American attorney, businessman, politician, Navy veteran, serving as the senior United States Senator from Florida, a seat he has held since 2019. And also, I believe this past election cycle, he was literally the f-ing head of the, what was it, like the Senate committee or something?
So we're fighting the low-level globalist foundation-funded anti-white Islamicist Black Lives Matter that's openly funded by the universities, by the foundations, by the elite. But we're also fighting big tech. We're fighting the Israel lobby trying to take over the country. We're fighting the Chi-Com system. We're fighting the BlackRock social credit score, and we're having victories. All the state of Texas sued BlackRock 2 years ago and won and made them kill their ESGs that was literally controlling what corporations in Texas did and was enforcing all the leftist ideologies at every level through the corporations and government. We're winning. The carbon taxes are dead, dismantled. Their system is easy to beat if we simply point out what it is, how it operates. The ultra-rich who've consolidated control, who are in economic warfare with the idea of a middle class, who are attacking the people who are everyone's enemy, no matter what color you are. Now, are you going to back an organization reaching tens of millions of people a day like AlexJonesLive.com, the next phase of the InfoWar? Are you going to back us so we can get more hosts, more reporters, and be even more effective? I've got plans and systems and things that are going to be devastating. I've done it before. We're doing it now. But I am asking you to make the decision and commit to share the articles and videos at AlexJonesLive.com, to share the live feeds at Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive, to share the feeds at RealAlexJones on X, to pray for the broadcast, and to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'm going to tell you point blank. We have enough money coming in right now to run the Alex Jones Network, myself, Harris, and the crew, and do our reports and stuff. But I've got incredible plans. We have had a bunch of victories in court that I'm not supposed to announce for a few weeks. You're going to be blown away by this. You're not seeing it in the news because they don't want you to know. We got more victories about to happen. We've been suing them, depositions, proving the CIA ran all this with the DOJ. It's going to be spectacular when it all comes out. And whenever I tell you that, I always deliver. That's because you keeping us here. They are so pissed. But I need funds. And when I tell you that ultramethylene blue will change your life and clean out your cells and energize you and your stamina, your focus, your libido, it works. We have the best medical grade anywhere. All of you that never got methylene blue or tried it before and had a little effect but not as big. My medical doctor 8 years ago said, get on methylene blue, get any USP grade. I got it. It wasn't really USP grade. I bought it on Amazon. Didn't really do anything. The stuff we got when I first took it a year and a half ago had electricity shooting out of my hands. I mean, my workouts, everything just exploded. It's incredible. Get ultramethylene blue tincture and pills now at thealexjonesstore.com. What do you have to lose? You know you're supporting a broadcast that delivers. Then why haven't you tried it? Why haven't you gone to thealexjonesstore.com and gotten our ultramethylene blue and our proprietary methylene red? We just talked to researchers and chemists and scientists and said, what would supercharge methylene blue and by itself do things with other compounds to supercharge your mitochondria, the engines of the cells? Methylene red, proprietary, thealexjonesstore.com. It's simple. I need your support. We're in a fundraising mode. I need you to take action now. And we make it so easy. You go to thealexjonesstore.com. This is the week that happens once a month where you can win both of the super trucks and $20,000, 100x entry every dollar you spend in the sweepstakes right now. That ends on Friday. There's a free murdered out cool cooler with your orders of $100 or more. There is the amazing super high quality concealed carry fanny pack with six patches that would normally cost $5, $10 a piece. Just the patches are worth $39. And these fanny packs sell for $60, $70, $80 all day long. The fanny pack is $39 with the six patches that come with it. That is a no-brainer. Go get it. It makes a great gift. Maybe you've already got a fanny pack. Maybe you've already got a concealed carry. Well, give this to your wife or your dad or your mom or your boss or your employee. The point is decide you're in the fight against the communists, against the globalists, against the Islamicists, against all of these organizations. It takes money to win a war. I need people to make a decision. Are you going to support the fight against tyranny or just sit on the sideline. I appreciate you sharing the live feed at Real Alex Jones on your email and text message. That's great. I appreciate you supporting and telling people about alexjoneslive.com. It's got the forbidden information. But what you really need to do is go to the site and get the Shilajit. Get the bovine colostrum. Get the Irish sea moss. Like I said, these aren't sexy names. They do sexy things. I mean, look at this article. It's all over the news, folks. Testosterone is down by over half on average in the Western world. Overhead shot. And it asks, what happened to the testosterone? Where's the testosterone gone? They've got all these chemicals in the food and water that suppress your normal testosterone. Make either your testicles not produce it. It does that. And there's a bunch of stuff out there that binds with your testosterone, so it's not bioavailable. Well, guess what Shilajit does? Nobody denies it. We got the best. Boost testosterone. By the way, do women know that their ovaries make testosterone? You need it too. Shilajit is so, it doesn't just do that. We have the best. Get Shilajit. It's all right there. Levels of the hormone have dropped the past century, but no one knows exactly why. Bull. Atlantic Monthly. Bull, CIA. You wanted to emasculate us. You did this on purpose. I take Shilajit every morning. I've got more stamina, libido, and energy than I had when I was 18. Believe me, it's unbelievable. And it's a cocktail. It's the Irish sea moss. It's the Shilajit. It's the bovine colostrum. It's methylene blue. But when I religiously take them all together every day, my life is so much better, and it funds this operation. Look at how I'm all about being accurate in news and information. I wouldn't steer you wrong. I only sell you stuff that works. But if I got to tell you to get one thing that I know is going to give you dramatic effects, I've given to over 500 people. Every guest on the show got blown away. Only out of 500, three people didn't feel it. It's pure energy with no letdown. It's the Holy Grail. You can take and go to sleep, though. It's not a stimulant, but it has a stimulant effect that's good for you. Ultramethylene blue. We have it out of Florida, a medical lab. We have the best. Get it now. Take that challenge. Say, yeah, this guy's fought tyranny. I want to support him. Plus, I want to see what this is all about. Get off the bench. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get it. And then finally, the great folks at Bigley have launched an online pharmacy. You can have a lot more stuff on it soon, but by design, they haven't done that yet. It's only ivermectin and minbenazidol, two award-winning, amazing anti-parasitics. Ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for it. Together, they synergistically do incredible things. Everybody's got parasites at one level or another, whether they're bacterial or worms. But it's not just for that. It's so good for everything else that replicates in the body that's bad. Look into minbenazidol and what it's known to do. Just type in, what did Mel Gibson say about minbenazidol? Look it up. And then get yours now, the highest quality medical grade, or you're crazy, and it supports the broadcast. Get it now at 1776rx.health.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
New grape flavor bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now. The all-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists.
Tastes like pure victory, baby.
TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Reality starts here.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, here's what I want to do. Because I got so much news to get to, too. And don't worry, we got a special guest, Brandon Strock, in studio coming up in about an hour. But I want to take your phone calls on the globalist design plan to collapse society. How do we stop it? Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you don't think they're trying to do that. Maybe you think the sky's red at high noon, not blue. But I want to open the phones up for everybody, but particularly, you know, military, sociologists, people, social planners, you know, people that look at this and the globalists admitted plan to collapse society, that they could manage that and get total control during that. That's a really dangerous bet. I think it's been proven it's not going to work. If we expose they're the ones behind it, that creates checkmate. The problem is they've already started the collapse. So even though part of the globalist system's pulled back from total collapse because they won't get away with it, and more realists like, you know, Elon have come in against it, at least in rhetoric and in many actions, then we can't just oppose the globalists, the democratic socialists, and the Islamicists. What ideology do we promote to counter that we promote? Well, I say pure Americana 1776 2.0. So, I want to open the phones up for first-time callers. Or let's say this. If you haven't been on the show in a year, please be fair, guys. If you've already been on and you got me on speed dial, we'd love to talk to you, but that's why sometimes I say, let's just take first-time callers because we got all these great new callers on. Not that you're bad. It's just the new ones are amazing. We want to hear from them. If you haven't been on the show in a year, then first-time caller or haven't been able to get on in over a year, we want to hear from you right now on just the globalist plan to collapse society. How do we counter that? How do we respond to it? Let's put that number on screen right now. 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. You can agree, you can disagree on how we fix it, or maybe you say nothing's happening, everything's fine, but the globalist plan to cut off the resources and then control us to social credit scores and poison us and dumb us down and depopulate us, I mean, that's the plan. But if you're delusional and don't think that's happening, sure, call and tell me what this is then. 512-266-0642. And we will go right to your phone calls interspersed with all of this news today. But please remember, for the hardcore supporters out there, thanks for your long-term support. But for all of you on the fence that love the show, what are you doing? I need your support to battle the enemy and expand. TheAlexShowStore.com. Take action now. Get the methylene. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
So the globalist plan is to incrementally cut off resources to the general public, have us all fight with each other over religion and race while they bring in this robot takeover dystopia that's designed to do at least a 90% post, you know, human system. How do we oppose that? What do we do against that? Trump was a decent beachhead in his first administration in the first 6 months of his new one, and he still is good on a lot of issues, but when it comes to being controlled by Israel and launching a giant war and saying he wants to keep the Strait of Hormuz closed for economic warfare, which hurts us as well. Oh, yeah, he's now agreed with Smotrich, the head Israeli finance minister, who said 2 weeks ago, we love this. America's fighting our wars. We close the Strait. It hurts Iran long term. Sure, it hurts other people. We don't care. Well, Trump came out and says, we control the Strait of Hormuz. I think we'll keep it. Confirms economic siege strategy, which hurts us as well. So maybe he knew when the Pentagon told him 170 days ago, a few days before the war started. How many days are we in now? We'll put it on screen. That it was going to fail, and he wasn't stupid. We're 165 days in. It's about 5 days before the Pentagon briefed him, said don't do it, so it was 170 days ago. But he still did it. But his goal was regime change. They said that's not going to work, probably, 90-plus percent chance. But Israel says it's about hurting Iran long-term in economic warfare, so they're so depressed they maybe fall in a few years. Well, then during the Strait close down, all the numbers show that'll cause a global depression, which we were already on the verge of. This just pushes it over. And that's what BlackRock and the big banks want. So this isn't just about Israel first and greater Israel. It's also about killing the world recovery, which the COVID lockdown the globalists admit was about. And there's Trump again supporting it. He didn't support it as energetically as Joe Biden, but he still supported it. Turkey thinks Israel fabricated Trump Air Force One assassination plot. Well, we know Israel told Trump they're trying to shoot your plane down with a surface-to-air missile, something I've been talking about forever. They're going to frame Iran for it long before it was even in the news. So, yeah, I do think this was hype, but the idea that Trump ran like a coward, I just call balls and strikes. They move presidents around to other planes all the time. The classic thing is like a food delivery truck. Sometimes presidents aren't in the beast limousine. They're literally in a food truck. In fact, the times it's happened before, it's always a food truck. They might want to change that sometime. So they're saying he ran off and left everybody on Air Force One. They know they're a target on Air Force One. Anybody that studies this knows that. Trump now says, well, the plane I was on was actually a bigger target. That's why I did it. I don't know if I buy that. But we're obsessed with the reflecting pool or, you know, the $90 million ballroom. And we all obsess on that. Or we obsess on, did he run like a coward onto the airplane and, you know, the food truck? It's all just political footballs that don't matter. Compare the Democratic Socialists winning almost every primary except the last two. People finally woke up to who they are. Or internal enforcement of the border being shut down. Or massive inflation. And in fact, I've got a graph I'm going to get to a little bit later that shows how bad the inflation really is. And then when Trump tries to spin it, how silly that is. Because the studies show that even if we have inflation and Trump's trying to fix it, if he admits it to people, they don't get as mad. If he says, oh, nothing's happening, everything's fine, then people get really pissed off. So that's coming up. But we're taking your phone calls right now on the general direction that civilization is going. Because civilization is hard to build. And even if you have good people involved, your children become more lazy, their children become more lazy, that's the cycle. And then even if you don't have people working against civilization, it's hard to keep in place. So many other civilizations have come and gone, so many societies, so many cultures, they die. Because the original energy that was there in culture becomes weak. Well, we have globalists trying to make it weak, trying to make the West weak, the best culture ever produced, because it's in competition with their AI takeover, their post-human system. So we're battling for the future of humanity, and we need to have people understand you're on Team Humanity or you're on Team Globalist. It really is just that simple, ladies and gentlemen. So that's a big topic. That's a big area. You talk about basically any subject within that and the different heads of the Hydra we're facing. So I asked the listeners, what do you think we should do about it? Where do you think this planet needs to go? Because we can't just oppose these systems. We have to have our own ideas. Ajax, Don, Hassan, Sam, Matt, Greg, and many others were about to go to your phone calls interspersed with all this other news. I mean, look, I'm not singling him out. I've just already been thinking about this a lot. And it's in the SPARS battle game, war game. They had 2 years before they released COVID in the winter of 2019 that they say 4 or 5 years into the release of this virus and the vaccine we come out with that reduces fertility and destroys immune systems and makes people sick, we will then have an apology tour by the politicians and media people saying they knew, but were scared to tell you, or they woke up and they're sorry. And we'll pick a few of the big pharma leaders to burn and to make the scapegoat. Now, I did 3-hour-plus special reports on that. Just look up Alex Jones, SPARS, 2025-2028 war game, which is really set in the year 2020 to 2025. So it was set real time so they'd have a battle plan for their attack, but if they got caught with it, they'd say, oh, it's just a war game. Put up by the Rockefeller Foundation and John Hopkins and the rest of them. And General Flynn saw my analysis of it and said it was absolutely dead on. This was a real battle plan. Because it's down to the day what happens, but they just change the year. So when I see stuff like this, it's very irritating, and I'm going to get to this later. Fox News' John Roberts, and I'm not against John Roberts, I'm just saying, admits he developed pancreatitis after his, which can kill you, after his third COVID shot, and it got worse after the fourth. Wow. But this happened to him 4 or 5 years ago. He didn't tell you then because he thought he'd get in trouble. Even when he got hurt, he wouldn't warn the public about what happened to him. In fact, let's just cover this now, since I'm already doing it. But this pisses me off. And you got all these other people, oh, I knew, oh, I got sick. You know, Elon pretty early on said I got really sick and my brother got sick and I thought I was having a heart attack. Credit to Elon, he said it a few months into it. That's what helped wake him up, and them stealing his son and sterilizing him. But now all these other people are coming out every day. Oh, I got sick too. Oh, I had a heart attack. Oh, I, you know, oh my gosh, my dad died, my brother, my wife, my son. But now they tell us because now it's safe. This guy got super sick and kept taking the shots. Think about that. And don't forget Executive Order 14043. from 2021 requiring coronavirus disease, 2019, that's their official name for it, vaccination for federal employees, and the hundreds of thousands that were fired because they wouldn't take it. The tyranny, though Congress and the executive branch leadership was exempt. They knew what they were doing. And that's why when I see Hunter Biden on his facelift tour, I'm not mad that Tucker has him on. That's a fine interview you want. He knew him growing up in D.C. I'm just saying, man, I wish what his dad did with the COVID shot was brought up. I wish it was brought up the censorship czar they set up. Because just because Trump's doing some bad stuff doesn't mean suddenly I got to hear Hunter Biden. Well, you know, I'm glad you and Candace finally woke up. Like waking up is waking up and liking Joe Biden and Hassan Piker. I haven't talked to Tucker in a few weeks. So I'm going to call him. I'm not going to put him down. I'm just going to say, man, I wish you'd have brought this up, because as mad as I am at Trump, man, we're being lectured how we're good and patted on the head that we finally woke up. We're now in the anointed people. We're now in the cool people. We're now the good guys. But you know what it really is? I'm not going to judge Tucker. I'm not saying this with him. But in general, people know Trump's going to be gone, and they know the Democrats are trying to put everybody in prison, and they know they're going to be coming back into power because of the horrible Republican mismanagement and corruption. And so people are saying, I'm out of Congress. I'm gone. I'm done, and it's not enough to just be off the Trump train. No, we like the Democrats. And so, and I'm not saying it's what Tucker did, but I know some of the other hosts have literally fawned on him. And I like Nick Fuentes. Him and Tucker fight, and you know, Fuentes has been pretty mean to Tucker. And I think overall, the guys are good people and are trying to care about the country and the future of the West. But, I mean, I saw that Nick Fuentes, Hunter Biden interview. And I mean, it was a love fest. And I'm just like, just because Trump betrayed us in some areas, just because we know, you know, he's become an Israeli agent or always was or whatever it is, I mean, suddenly like the Democrats, I mean, maybe that's how you get the interview is you're just, it's going to be softball. And so it's a viral interview. So he's doing it for that. I'm not judging anybody. Tucker's done so much good. 95% of what he does, I think, is as good as it gets. I agree with like 98% of what he does. People wanted me to talk about it. Well, I had to finally watch the whole thing. I'd only seen clips. And I kept thinking there'd be something in there to reprove it. And I just have to say, totally freaks me out. Because Biden and Obama and all of them tried to put me in prison and ran operations against me and my family. And so everything is not just one-dimensional. Well, if Trump, we've got a problem with Trump. So suddenly, Hakeem Jeffries is good? Is Hillary Clinton good? Is Obama good? No, these are globalists. These are enemies of the Republic. These are enemies of humanity. And I will say to credit to, you know, Tucker, he was criticizing the shots from day one and, you know, defending me against censorship and did a great job. He's a trailblazer. I'm always forever thankful and loyal to Tucker. But I'm also loyal to the truth and how I feel about something. And I have never been so upset or depressed watching an interview as watching that thing. I watched part of it right when it came out, and then I sat down last night after the family went to bed, and I turned that on, and I mean, I had tears in my eyes at one point, because there's this shot where there's a couple shots of it. I even sent a screenshot to the crew. I forgot to tell them to get it, and you'll see Hunter turn to the camera and like laugh like a demon, like he can't believe that he's got Tucker eating out of his hand. And like, he's the, oh, the laptop's not real. And, oh, they were just angels. And, oh, they battled Israel when the whole administration was run by, you know, Israel more than anyone probably ever until Trump came along. I think, in fact, if you had to actually say Israeli operatives, I think Biden was the most Israeli operative. But just a different wing of that. So I'm already going off on a jag about this. I just, let's get back to John Roberts, who I think is a nice guy and I've watched for decades and like. But, man, come on, Roberts. Why didn't you tell us you almost got killed? And why'd you take another shot? You get sicker and sicker and sicker, and you take more. And if you want to kill yourself, that's your issue. I respect your right to do that, though I think it's stupid. But you wouldn't tell people, but now that it's safe, now that it's everywhere, now you'll tell everybody. So, oh, you're so brave. Here's John Roberts. Oh, we have the clip. I sent it this morning. Well, I've been talking about it for 10 minutes, so, I mean, that's kind of a heads up on it. It is right here. Let's just relax. If it takes hours, we'll do it. We'll chill. We'll cool our heels, and we'll just enjoy. It was posted on the AlexJonesLive.com. It was posted on Gateway Pundit. Here's theirs. Fox News. John Roberts admits he developed pancreatitis after his third COVID shot, and it got worse after the fourth. And that is the clip. So that's what we're, if we'll just sit back and relax and have a timeout. Kind of like, yep, it is. It's on the list. It's absolutely on the list. Yep, that's it. Boom. Let's play it.
Breaking right now, Republican Senators Ron Johnson and Rand Paul releasing the first batch of text messages from Dr. Anthony Fauci's government iPhone. In one exchange from January of 2021, Fauci, then CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, and then Surgeon General Vivek Murthy discussed COVID vaccination and pregnant women. Fauci flags a potential concern after the second dose, writing that many people experience, quote, significant cytokine storm and fever, and that this, quote, theoretically could be associated with miscarriage in the first trimester. Walensky responds, quote, definitely a good point, especially after dose two. A cytokine storm is essentially when the body releases too many inflammatory signals that could cause high fever, inflammation, and in extreme cases, life-threatening illness. So this is just coming to light now, Sandra, that Fauci had these concerns. And I remember when I got the boosters, I developed pericarditis, then that went away. Then when I had the second booster, it came roaring back again. So, you know, the body reacts differently to these things depending on who you are.
So pericarditis, it also creates pancreatitis. Pericarditis is, again, the swelling and inflammation in the heart that they admit it does. And they warned before they rolled it out in October, they rolled it out in January, but in October of 2020, they put out that list of 70-plus things it could do, and pericarditis was right there on the list. Isn't that incredible? Pericarditis, swelling of the heart, the FDA, the CDC told you months before they rolled it out, this is what we think it'll do. They even tell you, just like Fauci's documents have come out, his emails and text messages that he knew, oh, yeah, it's causing miscarriages off the chart, but he went on TV shows and said it's not. So Fauci consciously did this, but there's John Roberts telling you that he's taking the shots, his heart's getting worse. He then doesn't go, oh, it's all over the news, it's causing this, even at the time. Let me go take a fourth shot. Let me take a fifth shot. Talk about mind control. Talk about being an idiot. What is wrong with him? Fox News, John Roberts admits he developed pericarditis with his heart after his third COVID shot, and it got worse after the fourth, but he kept taking them and kept taking them and then didn't tell the public. All because he didn't want to lose his Fox News job. Don't want to warn the public. It's not as bad as Rachel Maddow saying, if you take the shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it, take the damn shot. And Biden saying, I've worn out my patients, you better take all the shots. I'm signing an executive order. Anybody in the federal government who's not in the executive highest levels or in Congress, we're all exempt. You take your shot or you're fired, military. You take your shot or you're fired. Arrest these people. Screw them. I'm sick of this crap. But I'm even madder at the cowards. I'll just say it. John Roberts is a damn coward and an idiot. In fact, play the clip again. Listen to him at the end. He takes the shots, gets sick, takes more shots, gets sick, takes more, and then doesn't tell you. When it was in the news 3 months before they rolled it out, it was going to happen, and immediately it exploded, and they tried to suppress it and censored anybody that tried to warn the public, including doctors and nurses, and fired their asses so they could carry out this attack. And there he is being attacked, and they're trying to murder him, and he takes more shots and won't tell you because he loves the system. He loves being part of the establishment, even though he's like dog crap they stomp on with their boots. So I said I want to be mean to John Roberts? No. John Roberts is worse than the evil people because he's a damn coward of the system. Who'd rather die to serve the system, and now that he knows it's safe, and now he won't have any pressure, now he can pile on. Now he can talk about it, because now it's safe for John Roberts. Screw you, John Roberts, and screw Fox News, and all you people. You are dragging us all into hell. And your cowardice is legendary. Suicidal cowardice. You have no moral courage. Zero. Go to the clip.
Breaking right now, Republican Senators Ron Johnson and Rand Paul releasing the first batch of text messages from Dr. Anthony Fauci's government iPhone. In one exchange from January of 2021, Fauci, then CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, and then Surgeon General Vivek Murthy discussed COVID vaccination and pregnant women. Fauci flags a potential concern after the second dose, writing that many people experience, quote, significant cytokine storm and fever, and that this, quote, theoretically could be associated with miscarriage in the first trimester. Walensky responds, quote, definitely a good point, especially after dose two. A cytokine storm is essentially when the body releases too many inflammatory signals that could cause high fever, inflammation, and in extreme cases, life-threatening illness. So this is just coming to light now, Sandra, that Fauci had these concerns. And I remember when I got the boosters, I developed pericarditis, then that went away. Then when I had the second booster, it came roaring back again. So, you know, the body reacts differently to these things depending on who you are.
And you didn't want to tell people. What a jerk. What a piece of crap. You had it in the bed of people trying to murder you. You almost died, and you love the murderers. You love the killers. What a piece of crap. I'm serious. I'm sick of all these people. I'm sick of all these cowards. But this audience of activists, you're not cowards. We're going to break, going to Ajax, Don, Husson, Sam, Matt, Greg, and many others on the other side of this break. But I'll tell you this. They bomb us with all these bad drugs and all this bad garbage. God has given us systems and things that counteract that. And I'm telling you right now at 1776rx.health, the folks at Bigley, Mainline Pharmacy, the best ivermectin, the very best minbenzidol. You can get both of these together, medical, pharmaceutical grade, Nobel Prize winning ivermectin, anti-parasitic, so is the minbenzidol, but together they do incredible things, not just for parasites. Look up it yourself, just type in what is minbenzidol associated with, not just parasites. What are the studies showing? What else is it going after? It does incredible things. I take it a couple times a year with ivermectin to detox my body. You're insane if you're not taking this. This is the highest quality, both of it fused together, medical grade, highest quality, and it funds the operation. Get your ivermectin and minbenzidol right now combo pack at 1776rx.health. Take action now. Again, it's easy. You call, you go in the text message, boom, get your prescription. It's all amazing. If you want to talk to another physician or doctor before you do it, or nurse, do it. But what I'm telling you right now is you're insane if you don't take ivermectin with minbenzidol right now. Get yours now at 1776rx.health, and it funds this operation. And then, because I want to hire more hosts, I want to hire more reporters, I want to hire more crew at the Alex Jones Network, I want to go to the next level. We're in a fund-raising mode. We have the most proven track record taking on the globalists and being accurate and having devastating victories, and I want to fight them even harder and stop these wars and stop their next pandemics and expose their operations and wage war on the tyrants and their attacks on our children, but I can't do it without you. I need support, and the products are insane. Anybody that hasn't gotten our methylene blue, the best medical grade, way stronger than any I've ever taken, so good for your old body, get yours now, 40% off, big sale, thealexjonesstore.com. And there's so many great deals there right now. I don't have time to get into them all. We have the new concealed carry pack that's super high quality with the 6 free patches that come with it. That's almost like a $100 value for $39. It is insane. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We are on fire with liberty, but we cannot do it without you. So take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, I'm coming out of this break roaring with your phone calls on the globalist death cult plan.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Roja, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone, raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks, and ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. You've got the T3 trifecta iodine, absolute staple of the old network. You've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have, literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like. Till you're bleeding, I'm not about to see your life. But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like.
If you wanna find hell with me,
I'm gonna show you what it's like.
of what we're talking about. Trump, U.S. controls Hormuz. I think we will keep it. Confirms economic siege strategy, Zero Hedge. Excellent article. ZeroHedge.com. And this is what 2 weeks ago the Israeli finance minister said. He said, this has been our plan. Get America in a big war. Keep the strait closed to hurt Iran. It may take years for them to fall. That's fine. And we don't care about anybody else. A third of the energy, a third of the fertilizer, a bunch of other, the Russia under total attack, cutting off a bunch of its energy exports, diesel exploding, everything off the charts. And the whole world's on the verge of economic collapse. The average person is in massive debt, and they're just pushing us over the edge because above even Israel's agenda is BlackRock that says they want to bankrupt you, make you poor, to control your behavior through the social credit score. That's what they want. That's called feudalism. And I know I keep hammering that because we're fighting the young people being brainwashed and want communism because the system's failed by design. This is a capitalism. Going from the middle class having the majority of the wealth 60 years ago to less than 0.1% having 80%+ of it, not through free market, but through vertical integration and through insider trading and through rigging markets and insider deals, and it's just getting worse. So this fascist corporate AI fraud is not the answer, and it's funding the universities. Communism is the fake answer to conquer that, and they'll give you communism at the grassroots with a social credit score, universal basic income, with it all the strings attached. You will eat the bugs. We've got to get the public to understand that, and we've gotten the public to understand other big things. And more the public understands the pressure from above, pressure from below. Get me G. Edward Griffin back on. Let's get the head of the John Birch Society, William F. Jasper, on. He can explain this with their own documents on quotes. We should get Jay Dyer on, have him go through all his research, just bring up a few hundred quotes from their own books with the ultra-rich explaining how they're destroying the free market to control you and how they fund communism. I know I'm right. I know this is a fact. What are we going to do about it? You read what Trump said. The USA has total control of the Strait of Hormuz. I think we will keep it. Our naval blockade is being called by everyone a wall of steel, and there's nothing Iran can do about it. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. The remaining soldiers are unpaid. The IRGC is decimated and fleeing, and their leadership is uncertain at best. They have no money. Their country is shot. All they have is fake news and 300% inflation, and getting worse. Iran is all talk and no action. The bully of the Middle East no longer. Praise be to Allah, President Donald John Trump. So did he get us into this known to be a long war and lied, or was he conned into it? It doesn't matter, but they're not falling anytime soon. Oh, their ships are at the bottom. Oh, they're all bark, no bite. Oh, really? They control the Strait of Hormuz. They close it again. Trump says he has a deal again. They say, no, you don't. He goes, okay, fine. I've closed it. Either way you slice it, it's BS. Let's go to your phone calls. Ajax in Texas on Saving America. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, I love your products. I bought your water filter. I'm waiting on it for delivery.
Oh, wonderful. But, thank you.
I want to get to you. I've got skin in the game here. They tried to kill me. Okay. I made some major scientific discoveries, and I was going to give it away. I took it to an engineer from NASA. He wrote me a letter 2 years into it, stating it's one of the biggest scientific discoveries in over 100 years. And I took it to two PhDs that were head of physics departments that were of major universities, and they told me my physics was right, but almost both of them said the same words. They said no PhD would do anything that's not in their best interest, and helping me is not in their best interest. They said nobody's going to help me.
Well, John Roberts was basically having heart attacks from the COVID shots and kept taking them. And they didn't tell the public that he knew it was a COVID shot. These people are crazy.
Yeah. And so this exposes them. I believe God revealed this information to me for this. But they tried to kill me. In 2022, my blood pressure went up. I didn't take the COVID, but I took some testosterone. And my blood pressure started going up. I ended up taking 8 blood pressure pills plus a diuretic. I have since gotten off, I've detoxed my whole body. I've had sores on my face, my hands,
Well, listen, they definitely poison a lot of people with disruptive technologies. We'll get your name and number. If you'd like to send me information, tell me what your invention was. We'd love to talk to you and do more. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Don in California. Don, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. First of all, let me say it's a pleasure to be on this team with you.
Thank you. What an honor. Thank you.
And 2 years ago, I switched to carnivore diet, lost 150 pounds in 14 months, had to buy all new clothes. I bought your T-shirts. I got a dozen of them, hoodies. They're all great. My wife and I use your products. They're all great. I'm methylene blue iodine. I'm 65 years old. I feel like I'm in my 40s again. So thank you.
Thank you for supporting us. Please don't thank me. Thank you, brother. You're the reason we're still on the air.
Yeah, yeah. If we don't take back our elections, we have no chance to defeat the globalists. And you've had Peter Tichtin, Mike Lindell, Patrick Byrne on your show. They've all told us that the tabulators are compromised. So we have to take back our elections. If what a lot of people are saying, you know, they talk about paper ballots. Trump has said paper ballots, like paper ballots are gonna solve our problems. That's not the problem. The problem is the tabulating machines. Not only are they compromised once the tally is in the digital realm, they are also easy to cheat in the physical realm with ballot harvesting and the ability to feed phony ballots into them, basically without anybody being able to see that. The whole thing is compromised. We have to go back to hand counted. That's what you know, Patrick and Peter and Mike have all said, hand counted. So everybody needs to stop saying paper ballots. Everybody needs to say hand counted. Paper ballots just goes along with that. You know, the action item is for everybody, regardless of if you're in a red state and you're in a red county, you have to get involved. We have to be involved. We have to start being observers in our elections. We have to start going to the elections office in your county and watching what's taking place there. It's not hard. You can just go to your election office and just say that you want to go in as a citizen and observe what's going on in there. Take a pad and paper, a pencil, and just write down notes. That is intimidating just by itself, you know.
That's why in 2020, they covered up the walls, covered up the windows, kicked the observers out, and then Trump put massive pressure on it, got observers back in 2024, so it mitigated the fraud. You're absolutely right. At the heart of it is election fraud. That is the key area to get back control, but also educating the public about the globalist and what their plan is. And we've come so far, so we've got to keep pushing and have urgency.
And like I said, if you're in a red state in a red county, don't think you're safe. Just like if someone's dealing with a rat and cockroach infestation, you go to the water and the food source to get rid of that. Well, if you have a Marxist infiltration in your city, county, or state, you can look for them in the places of power and influence. They will be your ROV. They will be your county board members. They will be your city council members, your city manager.
No, I've gone and volunteered many times as a watcher, saw the fraud myself in Travis County. You're dead on. Thank you, Don. Hassan in Cyprus, in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean, has called and has been holding. Thank you, Hassan, for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
It's good, brother.
Honored to speak with you, man.
Honored to talk to you. Go ahead.
I don't know if you know my island. I'm Canadian, but I live in Cyprus. It's a divided island. It's actually, I think the globalists ruined it by dividing it 47 years ago. I wanted your opinion on this. And I'm a huge fan of you. I work at a university. I tell everybody about you. PhD professors that work in political science, they say, wow, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I say, this guy's light years ahead of you guys, all of you. This guy knows everything. This guy, I don't follow mainstream media. I just follow you. I listen to what you say because you speak the truth, man. It's such an honor to speak with you.
Well, it's an honor to talk to you. Look, I mean, I'm just real politique. And I mean, what we say comes true because we know what we're talking about. But yeah, the average political scientist is kind of in their own weird paradigm or left or right or their own weird little study area. So, I mean, the universities are basically becoming completely obsolete because of how far behind they are.
They are. And another point I wanted to tell you is in the beginning of the show, you were talking about the white race and how they're demonizing it. Actually, they really are. And what I've been seeing lately is like even girls now, I don't know if you've seen this, but even girls now, when you're white and you're trying to speak to a white girl, they don't really speak to you. They think you're demonized. They think you're cruel. They want to go out and like date third world country people because they're manipulated by the media. They're actually like they're brainwashed. You know what I mean?
It's 100% in the universities and everywhere. They literally teach. We can show you 1,000 headlines that white males are inherently evil and the cause of all problems on earth. And it is the mega banks and the big money is financing that. And then when the left goes, okay, well, then that counts for Israel too. They go, oh, no. But yeah, it's really sad. But at the end of the day, you know, this is where we are. People need to become aware of it. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Sam in Tennessee. Sam, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got, two topics. I had called in Monday, but, it disconnected before, you know, the show ended kind of thing. And so I'm actually going to bridge these two topics. Your topic of the day, is on what to do about World War III, right? And I think we're in it. I don't think it's coming. I think we're in it. But to do a metaphor, it's been a long time since I flew, but I remember back in the day, they would tell parents, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first, and then you take care of the kids. And the whole reason why is if you go down, there's nobody left to take care of the kids, right? It wasn't a selfishness thing. It was
you got to take care of yourself first, or you can't take care of other people.
Yeah, and so I think the best answer is get our military, like, out of everything and make sure we preserve our nation first, you know. And then if World War III happens and the world takes a lot of damage, we are still here. I'm an American, and I care. And you know, I'm care more what happens in the United States than I do about what happens in Brazil or Botswana or Zimbabwe or wherever, right? You know, because I'm here, not there. But then the second thing is when the dust settles, if we're still here, we're more capable of going and helping those that are left. You know, and so I think that's part of the answer. And I'm not saying don't trade with people, but bring our military back and defend ourselves first. Take care of America first, if that sounds at all familiar. So that's my answer on that one, is let's get us out of World War III, and let's not get into it with the Russians, because I know China and some others have nukes too, but I think we'll be more capable of defending if they decide to – if those start shooting at us, and if it's us and Russia. Us and Russia annihilates the world. So there's that. Now, third party, you know, just a brief voting history of myself. Last time I voted for a Republican in the general election was I voted for Jimmy Duncan in 2004. He was against the Iraq war. He was against the budget limit increases. When he got away from that, I quit voting for them in the general election. You know, George Bush ruined me, man. I held my nose and voted for him in 2000. And after all the Patriot Act and stuff, I vowed to never do that again, to not hold my nose and basically vote against somebody, but only vote for somebody that's doing the right thing. The last time I voted in a primary, I voted for Ron Paul in 2012. Since that, I've not voted for him. And here's the reason why I'm saying this, is my vote's not being taken away from anybody. I'm not voting for Republicans or Democrats, period, anyway. So I would like to see somebody like a Tulsi Gabbard or an RFK Jr. or maybe both together as VP or something like that. And I'd prefer independent over third party, but if they do third party, fine too. And my vote is on the table for somebody that actually is America first. So I'm promoting the third party because that's the only way I'm going to vote anyway.
Great point. Thanks for the call. Let me elaborate on your first point. Everything you said was 100% common sense in your face. We should be worried about our country. We shouldn't be getting into a new world war. But then you look at NATO that we mainly fund and what we're doing and what happened with Biden and the globalists starting the Iran war. I mean, starting the Ukraine war with Russia and all the rest of it, that is escalating towards total war. And it's common sense that, A, we shouldn't be involved in a world war. B, we shouldn't be starting it. And then with Iran, you had all these different globalist interests and Israeli interests wanting this war forever. Other presidents didn't do it because the Pentagon explained we weren't going to win it, probably. Very low probability. And so now we're in this. And the two wars have linked up, and it's a total disaster. So not only should we not be involved in wars, we shouldn't be starting them. And that's where we are. And it's because we're at the end of a cycle, and the forces that run the United States need a war as a distraction to try to control the world economy and have a political distraction while things basically implode here at home. And this has killed Trump's recovery. It's killed his agenda. It's sucked all the oxygen out of him. The poll numbers show he's going down and down and down. Those are real polls. I talk to people on the street. I talk to almost all his former supporters. Can't stand him now, but they're not dumb. They also don't like Democrats, but it doesn't matter. They're against the policies he's got on foreign policy and the betrayal. Because they realize, yeah, Democrats are a threat, and they'll be back in power the way we're going here. And that, again, is Trump's big mistake. But separately, Trump is the big front and center threat right now with this war. And it's just a disaster. And the neocons and the Israeli funding don't want us talking about this. They don't want us putting pressure on it. They don't want us saying no to this super unpopular war. They want us to just sit there and let us be sleptwalked into a total escalation of it that includes nuclear war. And it's just unreal where we are. Okay, who's up next here? Let's go to Matt in Massachusetts. Matt, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, Alex. I just want to say I love your show.
Love you too.
I found you in the mid-2000s on YouTube, and I've been listening ever since. And I remember back in the day, all the stuff you were saying, it has definitely come to fruition. You've been right on this whole time. I just want to say that. I have two topics I wanted to bring up. The first thing is about what they're doing to the kids. My wife owns a child care center. She's owned it for about 10 years. Prior to that, she was the director of a child care center. And when I first met her, some of the conversations we had had is about what's going on with the kids. And she started comparing the vaccination records with how the cognitive disabilities of these children coincide. If you look at the records of the kids that, you know, have disabilities, autism, all kinds of, like, you know, weird problems and cognitive delays, it directly corresponds with the number of shots they have. I mean, almost verbatim. And the children that she has that do not have any shots, they have a clean shot record. They're smart as a whip. Both my kids are what I call purebloods. They have no shots. They did not do the vitamin K shot. We refused everything in the hospital. And, man, that was a fight 10 years ago, let me tell you. But it was well worth it because both my kids, top of their class, they're brilliant. They have very, like, almost no health issues. They never get sick. They're not allergic to anything. They're brilliant. So I just want to say the vaccines definitely are damaging the kids, and they're doing it on purpose to degrade society. The second thing I wanted to bring up is not so much the flock cameras, but the other cameras. So when I found you way back in the day, I went on a crusade to, like, find out what was going on with a lot of the stuff. And one of the things I found out was about the cameras and the intelligent traffic network system. Luckily, I grew up and I live next door to the mayor of the town that I'm in. The mayor's been mayor here for decades. He's one of the longest serving mayors in the country. I don't want to say the city because what I'm about to say could give away some stuff. So when I started digging into this, they started putting cameras up on the traffic lights, and and I don't know if you have them in Texas, but up here in the Northeast, and I've seen them up and down the Eastern Seaboard, there's long white poles with a camera on top that's white. So I started wondering what those cameras were. Well, this girl I knew happened to be dating the town lineman. The lineman is the one that deals with all this stuff and installs these things. So he had in his garage boxes of these cameras. And he had two different ones. He had the Autoscope Solotera and another one made by Fleur. Now, this happened about 15 years ago, so I could imagine how advanced things are now. And they're all over all the traffic lights. And on the box, it said what the cameras did, and we could look it up online. And come to find out, 15 years ago, all the cameras they installed on top of all the traffic lights as part of the intelligent traffic network, they facially recognize, they do speed, they do vehicle recognition, pedestrian.
That's what I was trying to tell people. 20 years ago, yeah. Homeland Security funded millions to put up microphones, face scanners through government systems, and then Flock came in as its own private group, so it got demonized because it was in competition with that. I'm not defending Flock. I was trying to get folks to become aware of the fact that it was like an inner corporate battle over who would be able to roll out the next phase of it, because now they're getting ready to implement all the controls of the systems that are already in place.
Yeah, so people listening to this, if they want to know about this, next to at every intersection that has these cameras, there's a big gray box. And in the big gray box outside the intersection are the electrical circuit boards and the servers, well, not the server, but like the boards that all these things plug into. All of these things are live time and hooked up to the internet, and they've been in the town I'm in for over 15 years now. Now, I started looking into this and became sketched about it, so I went and asked the mayor, because like I said, he was my neighbor growing up. I'm very good friends with him. And he told me, I will never say that, you know, don't ever say I said this, but here's the truth. He's like, those cameras do take video. They do facial recognition. He's like, they are tied into the Fusion Center that's in Maynard, Massachusetts. And he's like, and when we build the new police station, we hope that we can utilize them to fight crime, because they're going to be tied into the command and control center in the police station. Well, a few years ago, they built a new police station, and guess what? Every single one of those cameras is tied into the police station, and they go to the Fusion Center, but they don't use them yet. They can't use them yet in court cases. So they are there.
Exactly. It's all waiting for the next virus and the next lockdown, they admit. It's not used for real crime. It's going to be used for total control. They've let the Soros DAs in over 1,000 jurisdictions and judges are in control. They let you out of jail when you literally shoot innocent people or rape women. Sure, this all has great uses, but the bad guys are in control of it. The globalists put it in, and you are dead on. What an amazing call, Matt. Thank you for calling. And again, for the last year of the hype about Flock, I'm just like, okay, Flock's important. Small part of it. Oh, God, you're covering up Flock. And I'm just like, no, I'm trying to explain that this stuff is everywhere. And most of it is actually governmental when it comes to the streets. But in your house, your cell phone, the smart meter, the home assistant, your refrigerator has microphones and cameras in it. I'm not joking. Look it up. All the cars by law have kill switches in them. And I know most of you know that, but it's just so frustrating when people are like, oh, look, Flock's put up at the park. Oh, Flock's at a golf course. See, they're surveilling us. Damn right they are. But it's just watching everyone only discover it through this limited thing and then think that's it. And then they're like blind to anything else. It's weird how psychology works, but they started demonizing Flock a year and a half ago when I started using it. Because the other federal agencies were blocking him from it. The states were blocking him. The private groups were blocking him. So Palantir is part owner in it. They were giving him access. So now, oh, the left wants him gone now. And I'm just pointing out that's what this is all about. Not a defense of Palantir, not a defense of Flock. But why do you only know about Palantir and Flock? Because that's the new kid on the block that's sticking its nose in the trough. And the really big boys don't like it. Like, who runs the kill switch in your car? Oh, you don't know who that is? Well, it's the car companies, but then they have management companies and tech companies that run it. And it's basically Microsoft, Amazon, Oracle, and Google. And you can go look up industry graphs, Wall Street Journal stuff, if you're a subscriber, Bloomberg, you know, the big business thing, they have the graphs. And I mean, when it comes to surveillance and government servers and control, I mean, Amazon, Oracle, you know, Microsoft, they're like up here, and Flock and Palantir down here, and they're growing. But my point is, yeah, look at that. Be aware of that. Also be aware of this. That's all I'm saying. We'll be right back. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody had...
You know, everything's really frustrating as we discover all this tyranny. But I discovered it a long time ago, a lot of you discovered it a long time ago. We discovered different pieces of it at different times, but at least humanity is starting to wake up. So as negative as all this is, don't be demoralized. Realize this is part of the process, part of God's plan. God is in control. Brandon Strock, really smart guy, puts on these great debates that I was part of Saturday that's going to air soon. The debate between MAGA and America First. He's going to be in studio with me coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll cover a bunch of topics, a bunch of news. But right now we're taking phone calls. Let's talk to Greg in Florida, globalism takeover. What? He says, we can't wait around. Boy, I agree with that. So, Greg, give us your take.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Good, brother.
Good, good. You know, the one caller earlier was talking about getting the right people elected, this and that. Well, that's fine. You know, we have to do that. But we have to make somehow... We got it. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to make a stance. One thing that I think is a problem is over the years, if you recall, I'm the guy from Laser Tech. One thing that's a problem.
I remember your call. You called in five or six times. Recap who you are. I'm trying to remember it from memory, but the specific stuff you discovered in government contracts.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And I told you about those bonds, those COVID bonds. Heard that. But we were one thing is this: we're getting yanked into these wars, okay? And I really believe, you know, I'm just going to say it: we fight all Israel's wars, okay? They don't. When Trump, you know, when he came out and said he's calling a ceasefire and this and that, the Israelis are still firing on those people. But I think Israel is total. Total globalist, okay? And the people that are feeding our administration some information, I think we have some bad people in there. You know, I hope Trump, you know, God, I loved it when Trump was, I know he listens to your show. I hope he still does. I hope he's two steps ahead of these people, because in the big picture, we can't go on like this. You know, we're going to, it's tough, Alex. It's tough. I mean, you know, we're getting these, you know, these little wars and this Hormuz Strait going back and forth. Are you kidding me? Get the job done or step aside. And, you know, we'll suffer the consequences if we have to. But the thing is, I really believe this is all a dog and pony show of what's really going on out there. What do you think?
Well, there's definitely, it's a dog and pony show. I mean, at the BlackRock level, they want it closed to destroy the world economy because they want to come in and loan all the countries and people debt. And that's why BlackRock's right. So happy. So even above Israel, BlackRock wants this war. And Israel's finance minister says they want it to hurt the Iranian economy, but it also hurts the whole world economy. So that's what this is.
Why do you think Israel, how do you think, what power does Israel have over us?
Well, Israel has a lot of the U.S. billionaires are Zionist, and even some of the ones that aren't Jewish are, and they have great control over Congress with AIPAC, and so they're the muscle to get the war done. There's other interests that want the war, you know, the military-industrial complex and BlackRock, and so that's why we're here.
Dude, I hit on CNBC, you know, because they do a decent job on the market and this and that. Had them on this morning, and that bastard Larry Fink was on there for a very short time. I had to shut the TV off. The guy makes me sick. But
Larry Fink of BlackRock saying?
Oh man, he was happy about real estate and everything. And you know, those guys hoarded up all the real estate, and that's one of their little schemes there. They're gonna
Well, that's where they hide the inflation. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
let's find that Larry Fink clip, guys. Look at Larry Fink, CNBC today. Thank you so much, Greg. We'll be right back with more calls in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Puts on these amazing debates. Really smart guy. He'll be in studio with us soon. I'm going to go down in the interview studio here in about 30 minutes. But right now, we're taking your phone calls just on the state of the world and what we do. And you know, you hear the caller saying, we got to get mobilized. We got to get upset. We got to get vocal. That's what this show is. And they wouldn't be trying to censor us and shut us down if it wasn't having an effect. And that's not just about me. It means you speaking out, whether it's the city council or the state house or your church or in your own family, and not complying with the system and being aware of it. And sure, cutting down flock cameras isn't going to save us. But the initiative of people finally getting pissed and taking action, that type of action put into other actions, is really scaring the system. Because people are waking up to Big Brother. So will that alone save us? No, but at least they're doing something. And they get mad when I go, but by the way, this is far worse. What about the surveillance in your car? What about your phone that's surveilling you? Great, I'm glad you're awake to this, but let's get even more awake now. Lou in Texas, taking back the country, the war within the U.S. Yeah, we're in one right now, a culture war, and it's getting hot. Lou, what should we do?
Hey, Alex, obviously nobody is coming to save us, no party, no politician, so we need a GOP dark horse to reform the party. So I created a three-step plan to take back our republic from the establishment. First, we're going to infiltrate these institutions. Second, we're going to burn them to the ground. I mean, shatter them into 1,000 pieces, as JFK said. And then we're going to build a new decentralized infrastructure. Now, why does it need to be decentralized? Well, when InfoWars was banned on all platforms, we entered a dark age, and the entire independent media apparatus was forced underground and silenced. We need a new system, one where if you cut off one head of the Hydra, the beast just becomes even more powerful. So I think we need to – the how of how we accomplish this is we fight a war on three fronts. One is digital media, which is what you do, Alex. Two is grassroots community leadership. And three would be grassroots political campaigns. I can go deeper. I don't want to just take up the airtime. What are your thoughts on that, Alex?
No, I totally agree. And an ideology of 1776 and Americana and the West and realizing it's under attack and explaining the big picture of how the ultra-rich, mega-rich are funding all this. I mean, here's a microcosm. People get so upset about the flock cameras reading their license plate and tracking them, and then most of the time not even being used for crime, and the fact that it's being put in these databases and violating their privacy. And you can say, well, there's no perception of privacy in public, but at many levels it's abused, and we know it's wrong. But what about the 1,000-plus Soros DAs and county attorneys, and it's more than that. It's over 1,000 jurisdictions that Soros judges and lawyers control. And they will literally, I see these cases now, I can't even believe them, where someone's arrested 48 times, dozens of them assault, armed robberies, shooting people. You know, this latest guy that goes around beating up the white women or whatever has been in there dozens of times for shooting people, shooting at people, attacking police. And the judges just release him over and over again. And because they know what they're doing, they're not accidentally just bleeding hearts to just do this. It's about creating hysteria and fear. So I don't want to hear about, oh, we need flock cameras to keep you safe from criminals, when even if the cops arrest people, they're just released. It's all run by the same evil system. So it's not that a camera in and of itself that has license plate readers, okay, you can find a bank robber with it. It's that the system that put it in is not putting it in for that purpose, so we can't have that because the system can't be trusted. And that's why we've always known that we could all live in a prison and be safe. Eisenhower gave a famous speech when he was president saying, I'll give you total freedom, I'll put you all in prison. You can't leave a, you know, tiny cell, you're actually a prisoner, but you're going to be free from car wrecks, you're going to be free from being struck by lightning, you know, all this. So, again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. They get us to go along with the road to hell with our good intentions, but I'll assure you, the engineers pushing all this aren't doing it with good intentions. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So let's talk about these three fronts of the war. We'll get to digital media in a second. The second front is grassroots community leadership. We need a counter to Young Republicans and TPUSA to rally the youth. When you have the head of John Birch Society on your show, I know for a fact that he has brought in Jacob Engels, a friend of mine, to lead their new youth chapter. They're going to be a counter to TPUSA and get the youth engaged. And the second part is to take over the state and local GOP chapters and then rename it the Patriot Party. Rename it the 1776 Worldwide Party. That's how we win in the local communities and take back our state governments. And then the third part would be grassroots political campaigns. We need campaigns funded by the people and ran by the people. I'm talking grassroots donations and grassroots volunteers. But none of this is possible without the first front, the digital media. I want AGN to grow and have reporters in every city and broadcast 24 hours a day. But the reality is we don't need to wait for this day to come. We can have independent networks in every state across the country covering local issues and working together to uplift each other and, most importantly, hold local and state officials' feet to the fire. You know, I'm building a coalition of independent journalists. I'm focusing on the four major GOP battlegrounds, Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky. We're going to hit the ground. We're going to document everything that the deep state is doing in our jurisdictions, and we're going to create a centralized data source for grassroots America First candidates, likely an interactive map, where if you live in a state, you can pick any office, and we will score candidates based on a few simple yes or no questions. I'm working on what those questions are going to be, but I think it's going to have to do with the surveillance state, mass deportations, and foreign influence. And if we can get past that, I think that's how we save this country, Alex.
I totally agree. Thanks for the call. And I'm going to give people two examples right now, one bad and one good, of action. For everybody complaining and all this, the people that get involved at the precinct, the people that run for local office, the people that actually get down on the ground are the reason we're not totally, completely taken over right now. But I've seen the numbers. 47%. I saw this number a few months ago. I looked it up. It's true. 47% of local elections in the United States get run unopposed. And most of that's Democrats not being run against. Democrats just waltz in most areas, and they're over the water commission, the school board, everything. In a lot of cases, they're paid nothing or almost nothing. So conservatives go, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not being paid. It's not that you're bad. It's just you're about, hey, I'm working. I'm getting paid something. The Democrats are in there to give their wife a job or their cousin a job or get a contract, get a slice of the thing. See, you're not thinking like that. You wouldn't go get that job and then steal. You're like, I'm at least get paid something to do this. This is a pretty big job. You got to serve, folks, because service isn't even really service. The name's not even. You've got to be engaged or you ain't running your life. You can't just sit there and do your job and go home and watch TV and be left alone. That's not how the universe works. Let me give you two great examples. Israel's lobby is focused, donates money, is committed, has a battle plan, and it's shoved aside the Chi-Coms and a whole bunch of other powerful groups that were the dominant lobbies. I mean, Israel's been right there at the top, but never before would I say no. It's the big swing in Johnson. And it's not just trying to secure its foreign control of our foreign policy. It's taking control domestically. 39 states have passed laws where if you criticize Israel in any way, you can't have a government contract to clean the school or work on the highway or, you know, sell light bulbs to the county. I mean, these are felonies in places like Texas. That is a social credit score. That is horrible. And it goes on and on. And it's because Israel and its lobby has got their act together and has taken action. Now, you're like, well, we've never done that. How will we do that? Well, we're not going to make it about you're Jewish, okay, or Black Lives Matter, you're black or whatever. And then, you know, they claim they represent blacks. It's run by Soros. Our number one plank is black men should be trans, you know, targeting black men. It's not, doesn't represent blacks. And I would say the ADL doesn't really represent Jews. I mean, a lot of them may follow it, but at the end of the day, that's not good for you. Where do we have examples of victory? The NRA. The NRA's been milquetoast. The NRA could have been more hardcore. I knew Charlton Heston, you know, great friends with you know, so many of the people out there. It's got a lot of good people, some weak people. Now, Ted Nugent's incredible in the late 60s fighting the globalists and the left. He was Alex Jones before Alex Jones was born. But then you say, hey, Wayne LaPierre, get tougher. So the NRA finally got really tough, and then the feds came in and basically shut them down and attacked them at every level. And that's why the NRA was slow rolling, was because you get infiltrated, you get sued, you get demonized, you get surveilled. And I knew about the internal battles of the NRA, but it didn't matter. The grassroots gun owners got involved. We started shows. We spoke out. Counties and cities and states had gun groups. Gun Owners of America, other national groups. And we made it a big issue. And we learned about the issue. And we donated money. And we went to marches. And we got involved. And if you look at the state of personal self-defense, and you look at the state of that, suppressors are super easy to get now. That the courts have repealed a bunch of the unconstitutional laws on guns. Red flag laws have been basically thrown to the side. Gun ownership is exponential. Gun stores are everywhere. Shooting ranges. People are defending themselves. The laws are passing for right to defend yourself and castle laws. And you can't say that they, 6 years ago under Trump, they repealed the law on nunchucks and stilettos and switchblades. Because a criminal's going to have that. Why shouldn't I have it? I've got badass stilettos and switchblades and stuff. I love it. I mean, it's fun and it's safe and it protects me. And I got one in my pocket right now. So that's what we're talking about here is I'm a good person. You don't penalize me. I got suppressors. I got rifles. I can shoot somebody at 1,000 yards between the eyes. Is it happening? No. You're safer because I know how to defend myself and defend you. Good guy with a gun. Good woman with a gun. 20-plus times over is gun used to stop crime than it's used in crime. We have won that element of the culture war because we got in the game. We put skin in the game. We put our Weibos on the table. You work your ass off and train your kids and take them to church and teach them how the world works. 99% of the time, you're getting a good kid. You get busy and stuff's going on, and oh, you don't pay attention, good chance you got a screwed up kid. And I get it. The world's tough. People are busy. I've not been a perfect parent. My kids have turned out great, despite the fact that, especially with my three oldest, I mean, I was gone. I spent a lot of quality time with them. I hate that term, but I mean, boom, we're going hunting. Hey, we're going to the park. We're going for a hike. We're going to get the pool. Hey, we're going to get out the art for 2 hours. We're going to play a board game. But, I mean, it was like, okay, twice a week we watch a movie and play a board game and 2 hours ago swim. Dad, you got to go. We're having fun at the park. I'm sorry, guys. Hey, we got hamburgers. Our family's here. Sorry, got to go because I had to defend their future. But it was a calculation I made. But I could see still some of the problems they had because I wasn't there enough. They made it through it. They weren't very serious compared to others. But I still gambled with my children. Well, a country is like your children. It's like everything. It's like a garden you're growing. Or I love the analogy of a bow and arrow. You may be a great you know, person when it comes to being an archer. But once you pull back and once you loose it, it's got its trajectory. That's how children are. So you better pay attention when you pull it back and you aim and you let loose. And so we were way behind the curve. So as negative as stuff is, I'm so optimistic because the globalists were way out ahead of us 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But all these patriots, when it was just underground newsletters and books and traveling the country, I mean, top former generals and head FBI guys and huge philosophers and the head of the U.S. Senate, archives, I mean, they would travel the country to talk to groups of 20, 30, 40 people at little motels. I mean, my God, in the early 90s, before I even got on air, I was inspired because I'd watch Access TV in high school in 92. And I'd see these locals going, over here at this little place on North Ides 35, we're having an event. It's free, but we'd like you to make a donation. And this general and this person's going to be there talking about the globalists and the communists, and the USS Liberty Association is going to be there, and we hope you come. And so I'm 18 years old, and I pull up in my Mustang, and I get out at 10 a.m. and walk into the place. There's like 40 people, and then in walks the former head of Air Force Weapons Development, or in walks the head of the FBI LA, you know, LA, or, you know, in walks the head of the USS Liberty Association. And I'm sitting there for 8 hours just going, And 1% of people might have been informed back then, but because those people busted their asses uphill both ways compared to what we got. And it was so many. G. Edward Griffin, you name it. Now, when he came down, be 100 people there. I saw him in Dallas, like 100 people came, and he had to fly there, so you paid $100. You were happy to do it. And they had to pay for security and stuff. But the point was, is that I was like, man, these are smart, informed people, because I was already into history and knew a lot, and I'd grown up around it, so I knew these people know what they're talking about. And so that's what I'm getting at here, is that we look at this and how obvious it is to those of us that are awake. Believe me, I'm just like you, and we're like, why the hell isn't this happening fast enough? Well, think about where we came from. So here's the enemy way ahead of us 30, 40 years ago. We gotten like this now. I mean, we're right up on their ass. And when it comes to awakening and people not trusting them, we're way ahead of them. They've got the money. They got the infrastructure. They got the control. But used to, propaganda-wise, most people bought their bull. We had low credibility. So on credibility, we're way ahead of them. And on getting into government and into corporations and systems and getting traction, we're gaining on them. That's why they're so scared. So that's why I've always tried to boost other talk show hosts, whether they're already having success or whether they're a little small and I think they've got promise. I'm there to boost them. How many people come on the show and say, you woke me up and you had me on first, or you, I mean, you know, some of them turn out great. Some of them turn out bad, whether it's Candace Owens or Jack Posobiec, and the list just goes on in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. You'll hear people I never even knew I woke up on, like Nick Shirley. You're the inspiration for me doing this. I was the inspiration for Joe Rogan doing what he does. I'm not bragging. It's you can be the inspiration too. Maybe not at that scale, but it's all in God's plan. So do not be demoralized. I get it. I get why you're pissed. Believe me. I mean, they have done a number on my family, but my family's closer than ever and strong and, you know, understands it and is, you know, glad I did it. And when they started targeting my family 10 years ago, my family, I said, I've never backed down for anybody. But I said, I can't back down. But I said, do I have your backing? And my mother and my father both told me, they said, we want you to fight even harder. Come home with your shield or on it, to quote the Spartans. And the system sued them and attacked them and demonized them and, you know, did all sorts of hell to them. And my dad had a big heart attack over it and all the rest of it. But that's okay. That's how war is, folks. And the stuff they did to my family and the PIs and the infiltration and they did a whole bunch of dirty tricks. And ruined my first marriage with disinformation, having constant women calling up to the house saying I got them pregnant and stuff. It was all made up. But that turned out good because that needed to end anyways. God used that evil for good. But, I mean, it has been an adventure. A caller yesterday is like, you had Doc Chambers on when nobody else was and too bad you didn't get enough attention. Of course, then you got sued by Colony Ridge for it. I hadn't even told you that. I don't even tell you what's going on to sit there and bitch and complain. I just want you to know If you want to use the analogy, it's like in, it's a very accurate movie from what happened. Midway, guys, pull up the battle scene Midway, bombing the carrier Midway. I'm not trying to liken myself to a guy with that much courage, but my point is just the same thing politically, just slowed down. They're coming in. They've already taken out three of the four aircraft carriers. It's a small squadron. They got one bomb left, and the guy goes in until he's right on the deck and drops that bomb right into their main aircraft carrier and defeats it and basically wins the Pacific War. Took years to do, but that was the beginning of the victory. And, I mean, and they're coming in with just bullets flying all around them, and by the grace of God, doesn't get shot down. And, I mean, that's us, folks, okay? And we've been hit a lot, by the way. We got a lot of bullet holes in us. So to me, every day's gravy. Every day's a blessing. I've seen the hand of God on what we do. And I have literally sat there and seen this for myself. And I've literally had them offer me all the money to sell out and threaten me and everything else. And it's been a pleasure not to do it. All I ask is for you to keep me in the fight. All I ask is for you to spread the word and pray for the broadcast. All I ask for you to do is keep me in this fight. Damn it. We got the new studio basically there. We got to get some other stuff done. We got to get like I am fully expended on empty with enough money to just operate here in the shell of an operation. I want to fight for you and me. I want to give these sons of bitches everything I got, and I'll fly in over that aircraft carrier and drop the bomb metaphorically. But I can't do it if you don't load the gas in the engine and load the bomb in the bottom of the plane. And I'm out of bullets and I'm out of bombs, and I'm saying go get great products at the same time at the AlexJonesStore.com right now and reload my bomber, and I will blow the living shit out of the enemy or die trying. You've got my commitment. I am never going to stop. I'm like a horse that'll run and my heart blows up. But I need your support. I know in the shot economy and all the rest of the crap going on, I understand where you're at, but these are great products. You want our methylene blue. You want our bovine colostrum. You want to get the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It's an adventure to wear it. I know you got to pick who you're going to support, but damn it, if you don't support Alex Jones and the next leg of the InfoWar, you're crazy. Let's go to the last minute where they drop the bomb, because that's the analogy. We've already blown up a bunch of aircraft carriers, but we got to get more aircraft carriers. We got to hit every damn one we've got. We got to go for broke, and I'm going for broke. The flesh is weak, but the spirit's strong, but I need your support. Let's go to this clip from Midway. Here it is. Trump elected twice was that, but the war continues. It's not perfect. All right, Brandon Strock's here. I'm going to go down there. We'll continue with your phone calls if you want to hold. I got so much. I'm going to talk about Tucker and this Hunter thing. I've watched it all now, and I just have to say something. I'm sorry. And that's all coming up. But look at this good news. Something good coming out of the DOJ. Blanche promised if he made him DOJ, he'd do something. Let's see, Blanche. How about you reopen the criminal investigations to what they did to me that you killed? Former employee of Southern Poverty Law Center arrested on fraud charges. They got like $1 billion offshore. These are the ones funding all the white supremacist groups. I told you forever were run by them. Former Southern Poverty Law Center finance officer arrested. His case against far-left group widens. We'll cover that when we come back with Brandon Strock. Straight ahead, and we'll go to Carlos, Mike, Seth, Evan, J.D. He'll be co-host with me for an hour and a half. Great to have him in. Another man of action. It's all coming up. I want to thank you for your word of mouth. Whatever you can do, share those live feeds at Roloff Jones on X and follow us at AJN Live and rumble.com/AlexJonesShowLive and AlexJonesLive.com, our news site, the bad guys hope you don't promote. AlexJonesLive.com. Drop those bombs on the enemy in the InfoWar.
a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors.
COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older.
Just get vaccinated.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine.
People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity.
There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus.
They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have and the children that every parent dreams of having.
A North Carolina teenager needs a new kidney in order to save her life. But her doctors say no COVID vaccine, no transplant.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
They are beings above the average of their societies.
You need to evaluate the risk factor in the COVID vaccine.
They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion.
Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken.
It has nothing to do with freedom.
Screw your freedom.
You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that.
If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home.
Everyone from police to teachers to firefighters must comply or they will face penalties.
They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now we all know who are the best on the planet Earth. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible ark, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice. It's time to make it count.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout. And then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning. And all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to have to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the gas. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there?
Help! 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 Help!
I wanted was Clem 15. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O.
Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are.
But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me.
I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, I've known Brandon Strock. It's got to be about 8 years and longer since he started the Walk Away movement. And he was a former liberal Democrat. He came out and, you know, spoke out against it. It had a huge effect. And boy, did the Democratic Party and the media come after him with all the harassment and censorship and debanking, and then tried to put him in prison. And I met him in person, though, interviewed him many times on January 6th. We were both in the second row, right in front of Trump, front and center, you know, right there with the Gateway Pundit. And then Trump's like peacefully marched down. Alex is going to lead the march. We go down there and we all get set up. They tried to put him in prison. They put Owen, my co-host, you were just interviewed by, in there. You are launching a podcast, not just your great interviews and your man on the street. You're doing these wildly successful debates that I was just part of one Saturday that's going to be airing soon. And now you've got some other really big ideas and exciting things. You've been huge on the map. For at least however long it's been, 8-9 years or however long it's been. But I got to just say congratulations and fabulous job with that debate you conducted.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Good to see you too.
Feel like I just saw you yesterday, because I did a few days ago. Where do you want to start here? I mean, we can get into the lay of the land, everything else, or maybe just what you're up to, what you're doing. As an example, I think as post-Trump, we're not even bashing Trump, but sorry, he screwed the pooch. He's politically destroyed himself with this war, the rest of it. So many Republicans, I noticed in the debate on the MAGA side, yeah, not the America First side, were like, no, Trump's all we got. Stay with Trump. What are they thinking? Even if Trump was doing a great job right now, we need to start talking about the future here, don't we?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So where I'd like to start, maybe if it's up to me, is, you know, a lot of my own audience, I'm sure your audience, a lot of people are wondering, like, why are people changing? Why are people changing their mind? And they're jumping to these really kind of hysterical conclusions. I'm hearing all the time, oh, Brandon, you've gotten the mind virus. You've been brainwashed by Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Candace Owens. But it's like, this is happening to a lot of people. Many, many people who were firmly behind President Trump and firmly behind MAGA. I'm not necessarily even saying they're jumping ship or they're turning on him. people are not satisfied right now. They're not feeling like they're getting what they voted for. And this has been, it's not new. It's not like we waited a week or a month or so. I mean, this is, there's been a consistent pattern right now of the Trump that's in office right now seeming like a very different person than the Trump that we got the first time around and the Trump who campaigned in 2024. So I guess I just want to sort of reassure any of my audience that's watching your show or people who have known me for a long time. Like, I haven't changed. I'm the same guy. I still believe in the same conservative values that I embraced when I walked away from the Democratic Party. I still believe in the same principles that drew me to President Trump and MAGA. But I do think MAGA has changed, and I do think that President Trump has changed. And so, you know, what I'm pushing for now, or not even necessarily pushing for, but beginning to ask a lot of questions about and beginning to investigate more and more is, where can I find what I was looking for when I came to MAGA in the first place? Where can I find the people who want to put domestic policies first, want to put the American people first, want to push for mass deportations and reasonable immigration, all of these things that MAGA promised me? That's what I'm looking for. And to all the people out there who's like, oh, you know, we've got to stay behind Trump and how dare you. I think we need to stay behind anybody who is putting America first. And right now I'm questioning if that's what we're getting.
Well, let's be clear. It's not your opinion that Trump has changed. In all real policies, he's changed. And I never do what my listeners want just because they want that. I listen to them. And they're almost always, we're just together because we're kind of thinking the same. It's not like I'm telling them what to do. They're not telling me what to do. But my listeners started getting pissed off 6 months into the first of the new term because they saw the changes. And I was still so happy about the good stuff that I'm like, well, let's give it time. And so my listeners, the vast majority are the most hardcore Trump supporters ever. They are the most upset. And I would say Trump's lost 80% of his support from his original base. And the numbers show that. Maybe they're not for the Democrats, which they shouldn't be, but they are legitimately upset. And with every week and everything he does, it just gets worse and worse. And then to bring in the neocons and the Mark Levins, the Never Trumpers, to then say, you were never MAGA, you're bad, when they're getting Trump to go against his principles with this war that's also failed. And then they sit there and try to and say, you're not MAGA, you're not at the cool table. I'm like, I don't want to be at your Jeffrey Epstein, Howard Lutnick table. So their attempt at like weird boomer peer pressure, I'm not saying right, all the boomers, has really backfired. And then Trump's attacks on his key supporters, because I wasn't against Trump at that point. Even Tucker wasn't at that point. When he came out and called us low IQ and all and said we were scum, that only turned his base more, and I wasn't mad he called me names. I was mad because he had chosen the loser neocons. I mean, listen, when Ben Shapiro had $1 billion of Israeli money behind him, he was in the top five talk show hosts for many years. But the last 2 or 3 years, he has gone down from 2 million views per video to about 5,000. He is, you look at the graphs, he is a flat line.
Yeah.
Why did Trump go join with a flat line movement? Well, because APAC's got the money. And so, and it's not even, you know, I don't even hate Israel. I don't have a hard on for Israel. Israel really is running our foreign policy. So as loyal Americans, we have stayed true to our values and Trump hasn't. And so that's just where we are.
Well, I think the question too kind of becomes like, did he just think that it was, you know, something he could kind of get away with and people wouldn't notice or people would kind of just go along with it? But I think it was a huge miscalculation because I consider myself kind of like an energy guy, kind of a vibes guy. I'm pretty good at like having my finger on the pulse of the culture and seeing what people are feeling. I mean, that's how I started Walkaway. I was like, I have a feeling people are ready for a mass exodus of the Democratic Party. I feel that. And I've been feeling this on our side for like a year. Think about it this way. If you look back to MAGA 1.0, people used to love to wear that hat, even knowing that if you walk down the street, there's a good chance you're going to get attacked. Someone's going to come after you. You might even get physically assaulted. But there was something about that sort of rebellion of wearing that hat that people were willing to take that risk because we enjoyed the culture of MAGA and how it felt. And that energy is gone. I mean, it is completely gone. Nobody at this point is really wanting to wear that message out in public or anything, because I think people are just sort of like, it doesn't feel edgy anymore. It doesn't feel cool. It feels like a movement that's been sold out. And to your point, it's kind of become a movement that's been very geared towards the older generation, and it's become a movement that's been very geared towards a Zionist group. And it just, I don't think it's vibing with people anymore.
No, I totally agree with you. And I don't want the Democrats to win the midterms. I don't want Hassan Piker to be in control of our country and Mondami. And so I'm legitimately pissed off that Trump has destroyed his political capital. And he has his internal Republican polls. I talked to pollsters that were in the meetings a year ago and 6 months ago. He went from 57 down to like below 30 now. It's plunging quicker.
Yeah.
And countless statements about, do you care about the average plight of the average American economically? I don't care about any American's economic plight. All I care is about a war. And then now his administration officials are like, oh, college kids are bitching about $20 burritos. Get tough, kid. I mean, have you seen the level? In fact, I meant to send you guys a graph. I'll send it to you up there and you can put it up of inflation in the last 6 years. You can say, well, most of that's not Trump. Yeah, but it went way up and then continued. The point is, yeah, this was painful. You were supposed to fix this before, not just the little increase.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, the country is, we're in a totally different time now than I think we've ever seen before. And the first debate that we actually did with Walkaway, in May of this year, I intentionally started with one that we did that was boomers versus millennials. And the reason why is because I started to see very quickly as I saw the divide taking shape. That one, the divide is not only ideological, it's also generational. And what's happening is, the baby boomers are seeing a very different picture than anybody under the age of 50 is seeing. A lot of that is because it's an information vacuum. They're getting their information from Fox News. They're getting their information from Facebook. And a lot of, Trump's economic policies, because I don't want to sit here and say, you know, Trump hasn't done any good for the country. That's not true at all. But a lot of the economic policies that have been successful have directly benefited the older generations and have been, I'd say, not helpful, if not detrimental, to the younger generations. And so the warfare, part of the warfare that's happening right now is a generational one. And we've got to get these baby boomers on the same page as the, you know, the millennials, the Gen Zers, some of these other people, because anybody under the age of 50, I think there's an affordability crisis. Meanwhile, the boomers kind of going, oh, well, you know, I'm not really feeling it. Things are seeming pretty good, and they're sticking behind Trump. I think it's
and really- there's also this weird attempt to demonize us because we're asking questions and aren't happy. We're not in a cult. Like, in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about Tucker, my dear friend. Stood up for me when nobody else was when I was first being censored. I love Tucker, and I know he has a great heart. He has Hunter Biden on. And it is literally a facelift love fest. And then I started thinking about how he signed an executive order firing all these federal employees that wouldn't take the shot, all the death. I think about the censorship czar. I think about how he tried to put me in prison with the DOJ investigations. And I'm just like, just because we're mad at Trump doesn't mean right. Suddenly the Democratic Party and Hunter Biden's like, the laptop's all fake. It's not real. It's all admitted. I looked at the data. It's admittedly real. So all I'm saying is just because we're mad at Trump, that kind of is what the neocons in the debate were saying is what we were doing with the Democrats now, and I'm not. But I think this thing with Tucker, you know, even Nick Fuentes went on and had, and I like Nick, love fest with Hunter Biden. What is this love fest thing?
Well, I'm in total agreement with you, by the way, about all of this. First of all, I like Tucker very, very much. I feel loyal to Tucker because he's one of the people who supported me after January 6th. And I think he's absolutely brilliant. He's a smart guy. But I felt exactly the same way. It's kind of trending right now for people to have Hunter Biden on their show. Okay, fine, whatever. But it was absolutely sort of a love fest. And my first gut instinct read on it was that it was very weird. And look, I don't mean this condescendingly. Again, I think Tucker is brilliant. But I look at some of the choices Tucker's making right now. And to me, it feels like an overcorrection. I know how this is because I did the same thing myself. When I left the left and I came over to the right, I overcorrected and I started embracing everything that the right thought because I was like, oh, I had everything wrong about the left. So that must mean that the right is pretty much right about everything. Well, the right's not right about everything. And
the right's a bunch of different groups with different ideas.
Right, exactly. But I almost feel right now like Tucker is in this phase of rebellion against this political right that he's been a part of so much and that he, rightfully so, he feels very burned by. And I think now he's almost like he's too open. Now he's going over and he's just like, oh, you know, maybe I was wrong about Muslims. Maybe I was wrong about Hunter Biden. Maybe I was wrong about, and that's fine. I mean, you know, recalibrate. You know, ask some
questions.
Sure,
exactly. We're not, exactly. My point is we're criticizing Trump. We'll also, when we see Tucker doing something, bring it up. And exactly, I waited a few days to comment because I wanted to really think about it. But exactly, you have the perfect term. He's over-calibrated. And we're only bringing this up because it's a big national debate. And I don't want it to hurt Tucker. And a lot of my hardcore fans that love Tucker are really getting concerned. Hey, he knew him back in high school. They lived down the street from each other. You're right. He's so pissed at Trump, and he feels like he made a mistake supporting Trump. He feels dirty, but you don't then overcompensate to Biden. You don't overcompensate. And I'm not attacking Tucker. They're going to spin that. We're not in a cult. Tucker does 99% good, and so it's fine and dandy. I just hope next he doesn't have Nancy Pelosi on.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, and I agree. Like, and look, I'm all for having open discussion, open debate. I'm not a fan of... You know, don't talk. If he wants to interview Joe Biden.
I think you should have him on. I agree.
Yeah.
And it's okay if he has a few nice things up front to get him on, but nail him with something.
Right. Yeah. My read on the situation is that he's in a phase right now of rebellion, and I think he's overcorrecting. And he's so smart. He'll get recalibrated.
Well, it's definitely viral. I mean, it's a smart interview.
Yeah.
It's just that I guarantee I could get Hunter on if I kissed his ass.
But I'm
just not going to do it.
Yeah, but my gut is telling me that he's not. I'm sure it's in his mind that this could be a viral moment, but I don't think that's what's driving him. Because there's too much potential to lose credibility by doing that, and I don't think that the cost risk analysis is worth it. I think he's just too open minded right now, and he shouldn't be that open minded.
And in fairness, he is super nice to all his guests.
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to be an apologist. I love Tucker.
Not Ted Cruz.
No, well, Ted Cruz does.
Or Huckabee.
Those aren't people. Those are demons.
Okay, well, that's fine. But he is capable. He is capable of giving people a hard time when they need to. So he needs to bring that energy to.
You know, I kind of think when he feels like they're a peer and he knows they're lying, exactly like the Bible says everything's ours and we can take the whole Middle East. And, how many people live in Iran? I don't know. I don't care. I just want to blow it up. Yeah, I mean, he devastated them. Yeah. So I guess. I mean, I think that's it. He sees the Republican leadership as trying to destroy the world, which is true. And so he is getting in alignment with the Democrats. I mean, here's an example. The Hunter Biden laptop's real. I can't believe I spent days looking at it. It is unbelievably. He's posing with a bunch of clearly 13, 14-year-old girls in trophy shots in beds. It's 100% clear what's going on. Yeah. The next photo is the same day, the same house. He's jacking off in the same room.
Out of his mind.
Coked out of his mind. And he's also in there saying, I work for the Chinese intelligence, you know, all those audio files. I mean, it's terrible. And then he's on there saying it's fake, it's Israeli propaganda. Yeah, the Israelis are heavily involved and they're doing bad things, but you can't hide behind your corruption by playing the Israel card.
Right.
And and of course you had some of the Israel lobby that was pro-Trump floating that. Everybody was shopping it. I think it's disingenuous by Hunter to try to imply that the laptop doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, and I think your point is well taken too. I just think, you know, right now, I know that Tucker feels incredibly betrayed by what has happened with Trump. And I know that he, like a lot of us, I mean, he suffered greatly for standing up for MAGA, for standing up for Trump. I think it had a huge impact on his. He'd probably argue his career is better now than it was when he was at Fox. But, it still cost him. And now I think I just think that he feels so burned that he's opening doors and being too permissive. You
people
know?
That are particularly pissed at Trump that were former supporters aren't doing it because they're getting Qatari money. Qatar's giving Trump money.
Yeah.
It's the other way around. It's because they feel betrayed.
That's
and
exactly
it's personal.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, okay, as personal as I feel betrayed by Trump, they didn't sue me like the DOJ and the Democrats. Okay, so you talk about personally hurt. They want to hurt us all. We'll be right back with Brandon Strzok.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
friends, has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine! No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
It was well known that if we got in.
So we are 160 plus days into this full bore war. And I tell you, I don't get excited talking to Hollywood people or sports people. I don't care about all that. But Joe Kent, amazing military veteran, you name it, the former head of the National Counterterrorism Center, resigned 2 weeks into this disastrous war and blueprinted and predicted what was going to happen and said, Trump, I love you. You can read his letter. We'll post it here. This is going to be a disaster. He's been proven right. And people like him are still being demonized by the corporate media that wants this war. People that lied to have been to it are seen as a hero. So it was great to be part of this debate that Brandon Strzok put out that's going to be aired in about a week on just the civil war within MAGA. But I don't think it's a civil war. I think it's people that care about America, as you've said, that are just simply trying to put their two cents in to try to correct the course. But back when you said what you said, I agree with you because I'd studied the same information, didn't have all your sources, but I thought you were right, probably right. Now you've been proven right, but I've noticed in all the interviews I've seen, you're not doing a victory lap. You seem pretty sad about the fact that you were proven right. So if you can just kind of brief the American people and brief President Trump on an off-ramp here and where you think this is going, as you were so accurate before, if we don't turn this around.
Well, we have a narrow window to actually end the war and get out of it right now. We have a tentative, not ceasefire on paper, but we're not actively shooting at the Iranians. However, President Trump believes that he needs to have a piece of paper or some sort of a formal deal. The Iranians simply will not give him a formal deal. We have galvanized the Iranian people around the current regime by killing the supreme leader, by the tragic strike that we did against the girls' school. The Iranians right now believe this war is existential for their survival. They're not going
to
give President Trump.
They would close the strait again, which they did yesterday. I did this interview after the great debate that we taped Saturday up in Dallas. Brandon Strzok was putting these on. Tell us about the past debates you've done, people hiding under a rock. They've been mega viral. When you think this is coming out and what you're planning in the future?
Yeah. Well, let me start by saying in this clip that people are seeing on the screen right now, the background, the stage for that is actually for, it was kind of fun, like a conspiracy theory debate that we did that we're putting out for Halloween. I'm only mentioning that because several of my influencers did interviews in front of this backdrop and people were just like, this looks satanic. What are they doing? Are they practicing Satanism? It's like, no. It's for fun. It's for Halloween. I'll walk you through it. This is exactly what happened. At the beginning of this year, like around January, December of last year, January of this year, my team and I got together and started strategizing what is Walkaway going to do for this year. You know, usually we plot out colleges that we're going to go to, what our initiatives are going to be. This is a midterms year, very important. So we were going to put a huge focus on youth and affordability. That's what we thought was the most important issue going into the midterms. How can we inspire young people to come out and vote? Then it's like week after week after week. Things, I just felt this divide deepening and growing. And as we started planning this sort of like youth midterm summit we were going to do, we started putting out some like initial feelers on it and the feedback that we were getting. I mean, literally, I'm not making this up. Overwhelmingly, people were saying, don't bother, we're not coming, or don't bother, we're not voting. Like literally, this was the feedback I was getting. And I was like, this is really bad, really bad. So then the debate started getting larger about Iran. The debate started getting larger about Israel. The debate started getting larger about Trump. Is he doing a good job? Is he not doing a good job? And it seemed like no matter what you said, anybody, whether it was you, me, anybody, no matter what you said, it was like walking through a minefield. Something would blow up. Someone would get upset if you criticize Trump. Someone would get upset if you praise Trump. And so we're like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to get through this year? What are we? So we decided to scrap the youth summit because people already said we're not going to come and we're not going to vote. And I finally looked at my team one day and I said, what if we actually just address the divide? Like, what if we just tackle it head on?
I agree. The story is the divide.
The story is the divide. And what if rather than just like bitch about it and amplify it, let's actually try to do something productive.
And you hit the nail on the head. We got to break and join 400 plus stations. No, it's just a weird 5-minute thing we do.
Sure.
We don't want to waste the time for people that don't carry it, people that do. But where do people find the past debates?
Go to the Walkaway Campaign YouTube channel, YouTube hashtag Walkaway Campaign. So far we've put out, really three, the Boomers versus Millennials. And then the next one was MAGA versus America First. And it was so long it became two parts. But we have five more coming in the next couple of months.
But this is important how you were really addressing it. Now that is the big debate. You kind of did it first. But the story is the divide. We'll come back, talk more about that, then get more into Tucker. As I mentioned it, play a clip of Hunter Biden and then the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've seen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, Brandon, some stations don't carry that first five, but you were really kicking ass. That's what you need to recap. You launched these debates, and everything you've done has been very successful. These are super viral. Three have already aired. You've now taped a few more. One of them we just did this Saturday, MAGA versus America First, which I thought MAGA was America First, but you're right. It really isn't. Very powerful. I want to talk about why you did those. The story is the divide. And if the Republicans don't want to lose the midterms, they better address that. I've talked to pollsters that have met with Trump. They know that. At least he had that thing with Kennedy yesterday, the executive order saying, let's restrict the number of shots from 71 to like 11 or whatever. So again, I want Trump to succeed. My God, I'm not
for
Hassan Piker and Mondami, but just take your time and finish up with your, because that was visionary. Now it seems simple. Oh, well, of course, we should be debating the divide, but nobody was actually debating why there is a divide. The only way to transcend how mindless it was, you compliment Trump, you're a devil. You bash Trump, you're a devil. And when we're not in a cult, we're trying to have a serious debate about how Trump has changed.
Right. Yeah. So, like I said before the break, there's no safe place you can step right now. And once we get through this midterms and get into next year and the year after, all of these influencers. People are going to know who they can trust and who they can't trust because, and by the way, it should be obvious to anybody with good discernment. But if you're somebody who's out there just absolutely avoiding the discussion of what is happening right now in this divide, in my mind, you shouldn't be an influencer and you should, because you're not a person who's capable of being honest. You're not brave. You're not courageous. You're probably just a grifter. I think the people who are out there, like actually taking a stance and taking hits, people need to look at that and realize these are the people you can trust. And so I was having a conversation with my team and I was saying, like, how are we going to get through this? Like, what do we do? Because no matter what we say or what we do, something blows up. And then I said, well, what if we just address the divide? What if we actually just try to find a productive way to have this conversation, see if we can bring people back together and find some common ground? It won't be easy, but at the very least, try to help people understand why this is happening. And the reason why I thought this was so important, my parents are in their 70s, and they're very bright people. And I don't mean this condescendingly, but they are as informed as somebody in that age group can be. And what I mean by that is they spend all day long watching Fox News and they spend all their social media on Facebook. Like that's the platform that they go to. So they are as informed as somebody can be who gets their information.
My parents too.
From those platforms. And so probably back in March or April, I was visiting them in their house and I said something like, so what do you think about this divide that's happening right now with, you know, Tucker and Megyn Kelly and Mark Levin and this and that? My mom said, what are you talking about? And I said, You don't know that there's like a big war happening right now, like in MAGA? And she was like, no. And I was like, I don't even understand how that's possible. So I started walking her through it and she was kind of like mind blown. And in that moment, I realized, wow, like a lot of older people don't even know this is happening. And a lot of my audience is older. And I think
that's indicative of Trump. People know he kind of gets it now, but he didn't realize. He thought it was some little fringe thing.
Yeah, well, that's a really great point because first of all, he is in that age group, but second of all, he's the most powerful man in the world and he's surrounded by people, I think, who are telling him what he wants to hear. Which is normal. I think any president is probably surrounded by a lot of yes men and people who want to please, but I don't think that he's getting an accurate account of how people are feeling on the ground and how this divide is split up. But I learned from that conversation with my mother, that this divide is not just ideological, it's generational. And that if you're over the age of 60, 65, you have a completely different perspective of what's going on in the conservative movement than anybody under the age of 50. Now, my instincts, and as far as I'm concerned, were proven absolutely correct with Thomas Massie's primary. I mean, if you look at the breakdown of how that primary election went, pretty much everybody under the age of 50 supported Massie, and everyone over the age of 65 voted against Massie. And it's an information war that's happening that split along generational lines. So I thought to myself, wouldn't it be something if we got conservatives in one room, baby boomers and millennials, and made that the first debate that we did? I thought it was going to be really good, but I had no way. I mean, it was like it lit the internet on fire. I mean, I actually thought people responded to it better than I expected to, because people were like, this was the most incredible debate that I've ever seen. And people, Walk Away Campaign YouTube channel, go Boomers versus Millennials. That was our first one. And then
and that was powerful, but I'm going to tell you, the new one is going to be boom.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, and we're learning as we go. So I think they keep getting better and I think they keep getting more.
But the second one was interrupted.
Oh, no. Yeah. So the second one was MAGA versus America First. It wasn't generational. I mean, everyone in the room was in their 20s and 30s, and maybe a few people in their 40s. It was mostly just debating the issues and the policies. But we got to get some really good stuff out on the table, because on the MAGA side, what did we have? 4 versus 4, I think. And I think all 4 of the MAGA people would identify as Zionists. And the America First people, probably not so much. But, you know, we got to get some of that stuff out on the table, including, you know, who's being paid online to push propaganda that is, you know, I'm not saying necessarily against America, but not, you know, is on behalf of a foreign country.
Exactly. It's every cliche of Israel now with them bragging, oh, we're going to secure our foreign policy control by taking over the U.S. We're going to primary anybody. 39 states, we're going to pass laws that it's illegal if you're critical of Israel to have a government contract. Yep. That's a social credit score. That's tyranny.
Yeah.
Well, and so Israel has forced me to become seriously critical, because everybody used to draft me or try to draft me into attacking Israel. That wasn't my bailiwick. But right now, I mean, Israel really is running Trump to a great extent, and it's a nightmare. I mean, look at the NDAA, all of it.
Well, and people need to stop it with this Jews thing. Stop it. No one I know hates Jews. I'm sure that there is some real anti-Semitism out there. I'm not denying that. There are some people who are bigots on both sides of the aisle. I don't deny that. But every person I know in my orbit who is critical of Israel or becoming increasingly critical of Israel is not that because they have any negative opinion about Jews. In fact, I think everyone I know is loves Jews. I love Jews. But
what the media does is they go pick the critics of Israel that are basically anti-Semitic, and they magnify it to make it that. And then when other people that aren't that sophisticated that are critical, some of them are getting drawn to that. It's, I mean, Israel admits in their propaganda is totally failing.
Well, you say it's the media. I think you're being very generous. I'm seeing it a lot with just online influencers.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. All right. The social media.
Israel spent $1.3 billion on influencers.
Yeah, well, it money well spent, because I think if you're under the age of 50, you're not falling for it. But if the goal was to propagandize on behalf of the baby boomer generation, which we shouldn't discuss, I mean, it's still the largest voting bloc. I mean, they have a lot of power, a huge amount of power.
Look at the left wants to brainwash and target kids.
Yeah.
We're not being mean to old folks, but Israel's brainwashing the old people. And I mean, I get boomers calling and go, don't blame us. Okay. We know 30-40% of you are just awake as we are. We're not bashing older people. I'm older myself. My God, everybody gets old. But it is a hard 65% that is totally neocon pro-war, and that's who Trump's counting on right now. So sorry, the boomers are the bulwark and the fortress of the war. I mean, so I'm sorry. We're talking about those people, not you.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that anybody should take offense to it. When I talk about, you know, the baby boomers and what they believe in, whatever, I'm not making fun of them. First of all, I'm not making fun of them, period, but I'm not making fun of them because they're old. I'm not like, oh, you're old and stupid and gullible. It's literally just a product of what was going on in the time that they were alive. I mean, these are people that were born post-World War II. I think they have a very different perspective of the state of Israel, what that means. Also, my mother, Catholic, diehard Catholic. My mother's probably met less than 5 Jewish people in her entire life. I say this somewhat condescending or somewhat facetiously, but not really. I think if my mother had to choose between me and Israel pushing me in front of a moving bus, she would choose Israel. I mean, I grew up in a household where it was, you know, Israel's our greatest ally. God blesses those who bless Israel. And this is how a lot of people of that generation feel. So they're having trouble, I think, disconnecting the biblical
perception of what Israel. I agree. The Israel lobby, on average, thinks Catholics hate them. And I know Catholics and Protestants, they love Israel.
Yeah.
Because they, exactly. It's crazy.
But we have to be able to, at this point, separate, because I think there's something almost existential for them about Israel. It ties, these are older people. They know their time is limited at this point, and this ties directly to their biblical belief of what life and death means.
Look, I grew up in Dallas with all the super preachers, and I even lived on a block because my parents were, you know, somewhat well-to-do with a bunch of rich preachers. And it was on TV every channel. The end of the world's next month, you know, the Antichrist will attack Israel.
Yes. Well,
it's real simple. Israel is good, and any attack on Israel is the Antichrist. We're not for the Antichrist. And Israel admits they're funding the Christian Zionist movement to do that, and it's crazy. So you have the mullahs that think the 12th Imam's coming. They want the end of the world. You have the Christian Zionists want the end of the world. You've got this group in Israel that's a minority, but it controls the Knesset. They want to make the Messiah come with the end of the world. I want to just say, whether it's Christian Zionist or the Likudnik end of the world people or the Iranian end of the world people, I think they're all crazy.
I just feel so disappointed as somebody who left the left, and I left the left literally for the very reason that, like, I think that one of the best analogies is Black Lives Matter. So the left will tell you that you're a racist and you hate black people and you're a bigot if you're unwilling to say Black Lives Matter, if you're unwilling to hang that sign in the window of your business, if you're unwilling to wear the t-shirt, and you go, it has nothing to do with how I feel about black people. This is a political ideology that I don't agree with.
That's stolen the identity of black people.
And you're using black people to push an ideology that I don't believe in. And now the exact same thing is happening on the right. And for some reason, people don't see it. Don't tell me I hate Jews. I don't hate
Jews. No, you just perfectly encapsulated it.
Yeah.
The pro-war group at the Pentagon, Israel, all of it, has successfully hid behind Jews to launch
100%.
This war and made it all about choose this or that. It's just like Black Lives Matter.
I'd actually argue it's worse, because we have to pay for this war and we're not even allowed to have an opinion about it. We're not even allowed to talk about it. If you talk about it and you express a disfavorable opinion, it means you hate Jews, you're a bad person, and you're a bigot. And I'm like, okay, so I just have to keep paying for something that I don't necessarily believe in, I'm critical of, and I can't even talk about it.
It's worse than that. I said back when it started 165 days ago or whatever it was, I said, I don't like the Moolahs. If you could hit a button and send them to the moon and nobody else gets killed, I'd do it. But the Pentagon's own report, and Joe Kent said to me, he goes, during the debate, he goes, Alex, it's not like I'm a genius, he is smart. He goes, this is the main Pentagon report.
Yeah.
This is the consensus. This was going to fail. Yeah. They closed the strait. They'll probably never fall. So it's not just it's wrong to start wars. It's going to fail.
Yeah.
So, like, that's even worse.
Well, and, I look at what's happening to Trump right now. I mean, the greatest thing I think Trump had going for him is he kind of invoked fear, I think, on the world stage, and he made America appear very well. He projected strength,
and people knew what he said he meant.
That's
because he
right.
always did it. Now he's flip flops every day,
flip flops a lot, and it's pretty obvious to anyone paying attention that at the very least, and I'm being generous here, he doesn't have control of the situation in a way that we would like our president, especially.
Well, he does it over and over again. He says 3 days ago, they open the strait. We've got a deal. Great. They close it. Say there is no deal. He goes, I closed it. They close it. He acts like just go, well, I closed it too.
Yeah. I like your Trump impression. It's a pretty good one. This has not been a good venture for him. You talk about Joe Kent. I just launched this podcast. He was my first guest and got a lot of really valuable information from him. It's really sad for me to see how demonized he's been because he decided to step down and didn't really want to be a part of this and feels like that we're not on the right track and we're not on the right path. But in my estimation, and I understand it's still somewhat early, he's been right about just
totally.
About everything.
Totally. Well, here's another thing. I never met him in person. Other people that knew him in the military, Leventers, highly decorated, wife gets killed by, ISIS, super patriot, and meeting him in person, even more impressive, a real gentleman. And he comes out lovingly and says, I appreciate working for you. It was an honor. We're 2 weeks in. Here's an off ramp. I'm doing this to get attention. Please stop now. And now he's been totally vindicated and they're still demonizing him. And he was totally classy about the way he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're still there. It's still every day. We're winning. We're losing. We're winning. We're losing. We're winning. We're losing. I think this is going to go on for a long, long time. It doesn't. He's saying Joe Kent is saying just get out. Just cut your losses. Get out. Let's move on. Which, look, I'm not a.
And then they say, oh, they'll control the strait. No, now they'll be the bad guys closing it.
Yeah.
He's totally right.
He's totally right.
But he explained to me, he goes, it's all classified, but you understand. He goes, we have supercomputers and all the best brains. We knew the right. Trump's old policy of sanctions was the way.
Yeah. Well, and this whole business about, Iran is a week or 2 weeks away from having a nuclear weapon. Literally, they've been saying this for like 40 years. I also don't want people to think because, with this divide, people have become so extreme and it's almost like,
it doesn't mean we're for Iran.
Exactly right. Thank you. Exactly right.
We're not handing them a giant strategic victory.
Right. Exactly right. Well, and when I interviewed Joe Kent, one of the things he told me that I found most striking was I said, a lot of people are feeling really let down right now about this administration's kind of soft touch on mass deportations. I mean, we were promised mass deportations. I don't think any of us think that this is an easy job. We know the Biden administration brought in at least 12 million, probably a lot more than that, illegal immigrants, not to mention how many others were already here before that. I think if we had seen this massive and relentless effort to do the best that they could to get as many illegal immigrants out as possible, we could have, we could have been understanding about any shortcomings on that.
You just nailed it. I meant to make that point during the debate and I didn't. It's the Epstein's real. We're going to investigate. No, you're not MAGA. If you look into it, none of it's real. It's a hoax. Well, no, it's a hoax. You're involved, sir, but not that it's not real. And then it's Charlie Kirk cover up by the FBI, which they admit they ordered a cover up. Joe Kent exposed that. And then it's now this war. And then I have Bovino on 3 months ago and he goes, I love Trump, but he's actually ordered all domestic internal stuff killed. Later it comes out that's true. Obviously Bovino's not going to lie. And exactly. It's just like, hey, we don't like this.
But what Joe Kent told me in that interview, so I asked him the question, and honestly, I'll be honest with you, I expected that his answer was our illegal immigrant problem in this country is so huge.
Unfixable.
It's so unfixable that there would have never have been a solution or a path anyway. That's not what he said. He said, if we had come in from day one with a solid plan and that had been the primary focus of what this administration was going to be about, we could have put, and I'm paraphrasing here, but a massive dent into the damage 100%. That was done. He said the fact that we have wasted so much time, energy, and resources in the Middle East and on global affairs, this has not been a primary focus for the administration, and it is. We have done an inadequate job of what could have been something. And I think if you had asked anybody a year ago, would you rather stop Iran from getting a nuke, which is, you know, weeks away, a week away, or do you want to get illegal immigrants out of our country? Everyone would have chosen.
Well, you nailed it. Even when you've got globalist presidents like Herbert Walker Bush, I used to interview Ray McGovern, who was his main CIA briefer every day. There's been books written about this, as well known. Even when the president is an establishment guy, the CIA and the agencies come in with war and crisis to steal the agenda from domestic stuff, because they're doing a bunch of stuff domestically with corporations.
Yep.
So this is an art form, getting a president distracted with foreign affairs. Yep. That's what President Washington first talked about. I mean, this is not the first rodeo. So you're absolutely right. And Kent is right that they sucked all the oxygen out of the room, where Trump says, I don't care about the average American's money. I care about war. And that's what they've done, is they've successfully, you know, like the snake in the jungle book, hypnotized him into this. And it's very sad. Is there any way to salvage Trump? Is there any way to get him to jump back on the rails here?
Jeez. That's such a great question. I mean, I think almost the better question would be, even if we did, what do we do with the time we have left?
Day late, dollar short.
Kind of, yeah. Because at this point, nothing. As far as I'm concerned, nothing can be done about the midterms, because I think that people are too smart and too savvy. I mean, look, we already see right now things that they're trying to do that are that they're kind of like trying to dangle this, like, oh, and it's like, look.
Oh, look, we had a vaccine press conference. Oh.
China. Well, all these documents about China in the 2020 election and stuff, and then days later, President
Trump. But nobody's indicted.
Yeah, President Trump, what are we going to do to China now that we've released all these documents about the 2020 election? His response is, well, they do stuff to us, we do stuff to them. This has been a back and forth, and it was a long time ago. So I think people are too,
they don't even line up the propaganda.
No. I think people are too savvy these days to fall for anything between now and November. I think November is going to be what it's going to be. And in my estimation, I don't think it's going to be great for us.
Think we lose the House and Senate.
So we have 2 years left after that. And Trump did a complete about face, and to whatever degree Trump is capable of saying, I'm switching course. We're going to get back to kind of the basics and how things were maybe a few years ago. What is he able to do in that amount?
Well, it's
of
like
time?
Trying to go back to your house after it's already burned down.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
What about this? And again, the level of insider trading and insider deals would make Pelosi blush. And I can't just sit there and lie to, it's like the Tucker thing. I love Tucker. This Hunter thing was nauseous. I just can't lie. I love Tucker. It's the same thing with Trump and insider trading. It's epic level. And then he launches a Truth Social, $100,000 a month, where you can, quote, get his announcements before they happen to dominate the markets. It's like, it's like a Pelosi launched a website and said, you know, I've got insider trading info. I'll sell it to you before. I mean, what the hell? I mean, I'm supposed to sign on to this. I got offered $50 million, was an off record meeting, so I never say with the globalists before they sued me 8 years ago to sell out to them. I didn't take the $50 million. I'm not going to sell out for cult of personality now. I've turned down $50 million a year to sell out to the system. If I was going to do it, I'll go do it whole hog. It's bizarre.
It's beyond bizarre. And it's like, for anybody watching this and listening, like, this is not what I want to be talking about. That, like, I wish I was sitting here across from you talking about what an amazing job that our country's back on track.
Trump's things winning. We're deporting.
That's what I want to
peace,
be talking about.
The jobs are coming back.
Right. This I don't want.
Instead, hey, Brandon, pay me $100,000. I'll give you stock tips.
I don't want to be doing this. But it's like, look, Alex, I think we could even be sitting here saying some of these things that are very questionable about the amount of money that he's made and the company he's keeping with Thiel and Zuckerberg and all the billionaires.
He wasn't starting World War III and hadn't stopped the deportations. We could maybe hold our nose.
We could overlook some of this stuff. But it's like, this movement began as the movement where the forgotten everyday people who are struggling were supposed to be represented, supposed to be put first, and their lives were supposed to be back on track. No one can afford groceries. No one can afford gas. People feel like they can't own a home in this country anymore. People are getting married late. They're not getting married at all. But the ones who are getting married are getting married later. They're choosing not to have children. This is not a good path that our country is on. Not at all. And then it just seems like the wealthy billionaire class is being prioritized. And for some reason, a lot of these people, the people who are struggling, are still so hypnotized by what I think they're hoping that it's going to be like it was again. And there's no indication at this point.
Well, they keep saying the Q thing. There's a master plan. Just wait.
How long? Like, and how long can you afford to wait? You know, for me, the issues that I care about the most, and I understand I'm in a niche group. I don't expect other people to care about what I care about. For me, deweaponization. That was like a primary thing.
Let's come back and talk about that. Yeah. You and I both are peers being targeted.
Yep.
Trying to throw us in jail. And yeah, the fact that Todd Blanche killed investigations into what happened to us, and he officially has killed the weaponization program now. Oh. And I'm supposed to, and by the way, I met with the Weaponization Committee. They have the smoking guns. And they're all just, Todd Blanche waves a magic wand. And it's A-OK.
Yep.
Brandon Strzok's our guest. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Back in our studios tomorrow, I'm going to tape a podcast with him. Let's talk about this. Everybody follows what you're doing. You've always had a huge effect in the last 8 years since you burst on the scene, but you're doing really important over the horizon. Tomorrow's news today. Obviously, they want to follow the walkaway movement on YouTube. They want to follow you on X at Brandon Straka, Straka. But also, you launched your new podcast. How do people find that?
Yeah, I would appreciate it if they did find it.
Well, no, when you first launched something, you got to know where it is.
Yeah. So my YouTube channel is at the Brandon Straka. Thank you. I think it's on the screen right now. So I'm on YouTube and Rumble. My Rumble channel is very, very new. Just type in Brandon Straka in the search bar. Please subscribe. I think we've got like 8,600 subscribers or something. You know, my YouTube, I struggle. I really feel like after January 6th, like they kind of put some of these social media platforms.
A massive censorship.
Yeah. Well, it's like they let you keep your accounts, but
you're shadow banned.
Right. So it's, in a way, it's almost better to be banned because then you're just banned. Like people know.
Like me.
But you get to keep your account. And it's like, okay, well, you're getting like 3 views on your stuff. And it's like, well, that can't be real. I've got over 1 million followers.
But you're not doing that now. You're kicking ass despite it.
Yeah. So, I just launched a podcast. People can find it on YouTube and they can find it on, Rumble. So we're, 4 episodes in. And,
let me give you a tip. Take these viral promo clips you're going to do for your debate. Post those on your podcast site. Those will go viral and push them back in the podcast.
Well, that's kind of the goal. And we're going to take some clips from the Brandon Straka show and put them into little commercial breaks in the debate and just be like, hey, if you didn't know, go, you know. But my first guest was Joe Kent. That was, I guess, about a month ago. My second guest was Lauren Boebert. My third guest was Marjorie Taylor Greene. And my fourth guest is somebody that some your audience might know, but people maybe just haven't thought about in a while, was Joy Vila. And she's walked away from Scientology, and a lot of people who knew her knew kind of behind the scenes she was a Scientologist, and she's kind of, you know, breaking her silence on that. It was really an amazing interview. So I'm trying to interview controversial
people. You're
taking
everybody on.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I'm not trying to do safe interviews. You know, I used to do that before. I never really had a podcast, but like I would do these kind of like one-off interviews. And like anybody who's in this influencer space knows that there's these like very safe ways that, you know, you have people from the admin on, or you have members of the family on, you know, and you say like, oh,
Benny Johnson,
best. Yeah. And you say things, you know, like, oh, best economy ever. And, you know, more African Americans are out to work than ever before and buying homes and stuff. You know, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I'm not saying because it's a lie or, you know, that it's disingenuous. I'm just like, I think this is too serious.
Yeah, it's never that you sold out. You were being a team player and just trying to be positive.
That's exactly right.
And at a certain point, you're like, then there's the other extreme, though, and I'm not trying to bash Candace Owens, where you go completely the other thing, where nothing's positive. Like, I said, this is good, this executive order, and them speaking out against the shots, the news coming out will make people be aware of it. It's not perfect. And people are like, oh, you're for the sellout. You're now supporting him. I'm like, no, I'm calling balls and strikes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the world's too complex. I can't sit around and think, what am I going to do? How do I want to handle this? You know, it's like the Tucker thing. I watched the clips on Monday, was pretty shocked. Finally, last night, my youngest daughter went to bed. The others are moved out. I sat there and watched the whole thing, and I was just like, Tucker's smart. What is he thinking here? And I'm not trying to bash Tucker. Everybody's questioning it. And I just have to say, just because Trump is going sideways doesn't mean these are our friends. I'm not saying Tucker's bad, because I love him so much. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and not then criticize something just because I'm friends with somebody. Because when I do wrong, I want to admit it. And I do plenty. So I'm not hearing like a high horse judging Tucker or whatever. I'm just hearing the laptop's not real. It's Israel propaganda. You admit it's real. That's all real. Your dad censored. He fired hundreds of thousands of people that didn't take the shot. He engaged in all this. You guys are basically Chinese communist agents. So I just don't want to hear it from you. You're not, I mean, my point when I said, okay, I'm going to talk about this, because, you know, I was like, yeah, it doesn't really matter, was when he over and over again, he goes, you're awake now. I'm really proud of you. You guys have finally joined us. You're now the good guys. And I'm like, you're the high and mighty. You're like the benchmark that I need to attain to be Hunter Biden. I'm like, no.
Right. I'll believe that when I see it, and I'm gonna need a lot more data and a lot more information before. Look, I think I'm living proof that people can change, and
to me, Ron Paul's an icon of purity. He would never say I'm the benchmark. He is
right.
So I mean, like, dude, Ron Paul's over here. He's the benchmark of integrity. You're the opposite, Hunter.
Right.
I'm not gonna, because if I lie and.
That's the
I feel like thing. I should do whole exposés on Hunter now.
Yeah.
Even though I don't want to. I mean, it's like.
I definitely am not a believer in the fact that, you know, if someone does wrong or sides with something that's wrong, that, you know, they have to be punished for the rest of their lives. I think people can
change. No, I totally agree.
We should encourage people to change. But there's got to be some sort of, you know, ample demonstration, that this person has actually learned something.
No, not lie and say none of what was said about me is true when it's all true.
Yeah.
And then I'm the moral authority.
Yep. 100%.
I mean, one thing, if you did a facelift tour, it's then, I'm glad you joined me in being awake.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, you ain't what we're trying to be.
No. No.
Hey, let's play a clip of that just because.
Yeah, let's look.
Again, now that I've begun down this road, and we love you, Tucker, and Tucker's done so much for me. I have loyalty to a point, but I mean, there's so many of these clips. Let's play clip C. What was Israel's role in the laptop story? No addressing what's in it or the fact that it is him. I mean, literally hundreds of, I mean, I felt dirty looking at this. Trophy photos with him with like 13, 14 year old girls half dressed in robes and then talking about in other posts sex. And then the next post, the same day, the same place, the same outfit, jacking off. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't pedophilia, but it's close. You're not babysitting my kids and you're certainly not my benchmark of life. And then the recordings of the head of Chinese spies been gone a month. He funds me. What do I do? Those are audio files he saved. Those are him.
Yeah.
And then now I'm supposed to say, well, the shield of Israel being bad, it's like the magic wand you wave. So now Hunter's good because you're for Hunter or you're with Israel. Biden's administration had more Zionists in it, if it's possible, than even Trump. I mean, it's just a different wing of the Zionists. So here's that clip.
The allegation that there was abusive minors proven on the laptop, that came from the Israelis. I'm just telling you that. They came to me with that. So I know that. And one of the things that enraged me about the statement from those sleazy intel guys is that they blame the Russians for it. Now, maybe the Russians had a hand in it, but it was the Israelis who were pushing that fact. Yeah. Fact. I mean, literally to me.
Yeah.
So.
And you've gone through it.
But they're all such slaves.
Is there anything? I want to clear with your entire, like, you know, not a single thing in my anything that is in any way true about that.
Well, that's such a serious crime that I think. It's just common sense that if there was evidence of that.
You think that it's common sense, but I'll tell you what, about 40 million people on X don't think that, you know, I mean, it's like,
there was an abusive minors in there. If there was evidence,
how many people call me a pedophile to this day? Anyway, I'll spare you, but I agree with you. That's exactly right. And you know,
but they were pushing that so hard, and all the intel guys were like, oh, it's Russia. It's like, you lie. You lie. Because they called me. I sent one of my producers out to go meet with a guy connected to Netanyahu. They were behind that. And I felt that everybody in D.C. knew that, but there was so much pressure never to criticize Israel in any way that they were just like, oh, it's the Russians. Oh, it's the Russians. They're the ones penetrating our political system. It's like, you lie. Everyone knows what's actually happening. This was my perspective, and it drove me insane. And by the way, I didn't say that on Fox News. I'll admit it. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. You're right. I just want to say I was part of the problem also.
So
but
it's true that the Russians weren't behind it. It's true it was this thing they had that was being shopped around. Of course, Israel wanted Trump now we see for obvious reasons. That's true. Everything Tucker's saying is true, so credit to Tucker. But the point is, not just to prove my point, I don't even want to go look at it again, but do I need to play the tapes that are on it, that he doesn't deny are real, that he's a Chinese agent? Do I need to show him with the trophy photos of little girls? I mean, my point is, look out, Tucker, because just because the way this was presented was a fraud and for political reasons doesn't mean the guy you're sitting across from isn't a devil.
Well, two things. So I've never seen that clip. I actually haven't seen the episode yet.
It gets worse.
Two things struck me as I was watching that. So earlier with you, I said that, you know, I think it's possible Tucker's overcorrecting right now and kind of like an act of rebellion because he feels betrayed by Trump. I stand by that. And this is almost actually kind of an extension of that. Another thing that can happen to people, it's happened to me, I think it's happened to a lot of people, is that when you realize that something has been done to you, like, for instance,
you personalize everything.
And you almost, you're willing to believe the other person when they say it happened to them too, without stopping to think, well, that person could actually be latching on to what happened to you and
using it.
There's
a solidarity.
Exactly right. A solidarity. That's a great way to put it. The second thing is, let's not forget that this guy received a full pardon from his father. He can now deny anything he wants. Nothing's going to be investigated. Nothing's going to be looked into. He's never going to be charged with a crime. So look, I'm not saying he is a pedophile. I'm not saying he whatever, but I'm saying
do you and I pose with hundreds of photos with 12 and 13 year old girls half naked in beds.
I'm just saying at this point he can deny whatever he wants because it'll never get investigated. And I think that if Tucker is now realizing things that have been done to him and who was the source of that, to use your word, which is the perfect word, be apprehensive about finding solidarity with other people who are claiming the same thing. There's a good chance it may not be true.
And even if he didn't challenge the laptop, and I'm not criticizing Tucker, this is what I would have asked. What about his dad creating the censorship czar? What about the weaponization that came after you?
Right.
Which we were going to get to at the break, and I forgot to interrupt you with the break, which is a hard break. But, I mean, all of this is there, and you start thinking about all the things Biden did, and sure, he was a puppet, but this was a really horrible administration, too. In many ways, worse, and consciously so. So, talk about weaponization. What happened to you? That wasn't Trump. That was them. Now it's Trump protecting that.
Right.
Todd Blanche is protecting that.
Yeah. And that, so, okay, perfect setup there because I was basically saying, you know, I have a lot. I had certain expectations from this administration, which, as I was saying earlier in the show, I acknowledge I don't expect other people to care as much as I care about weaponization or de-weaponization or getting justice for some of these things. It was very personal for me, and I will ever really fully know what I went through and others who I went through this with went through. That being said, I do know what is not being done. I do know what is not happening. It makes absolutely no sense that it's happening. And so I'm not going to walk through the whole January 6th story because it would take too much time and people know it. Long story short, I didn't go in the Capitol on January 6th. I didn't engage in any violence on January 6th. I didn't encourage anyone else to be violent. I didn't even witness any violence.
That's were a political target.
Yeah, that's correct. I was the leader of the Walkaway Movement, the largest national movement of former Democrats walking away from the party. Hundreds of thousands of people have joined my movement. Hundreds of thousands of people walked away from the Democratic Party, shared their stories. And my organization, I think it was a primary threat to the Democratic Party and the establishment. Not to mention the fact that, you know, I don't make a big deal about this. Who cares? But I am a gay man who walked away from the Democratic Party and started a very successful movement. And I'm exactly the kind of person they hate. They hate it when black people walk away. They hate it when Hispanics walk away. They hate it when gay people walk away.
They think they own you.
That's right. Yeah. And if you've got one of us and a loud mouth like me who's inspiring other people, they hate it worse than anything. So I would actually argue, and some, you know, the other people can disagree. I think that they hate someone like me more than they hate someone
they definitely
Charlie
do.
Kirk. You know, Charlie might have been way, way bigger than me and I had a bigger organization. But to your point, I am one of their owned classes of people and I broke free from their ranks and encouraged other people to do it too. And
you're going after their home turf.
Exactly.
Which
right.
I would then just throw this before I forget to say it and get to it later, which is what the Trump thing's begun. We own you.
Yeah.
We can change our policy anytime. We reject you and you're bad if you don't change with us. It's the same thing. No, we bought into this for these reasons. You don't own us. So I think the neocons have taken the Democrat playbook, not just with the Black Lives Matter like propaganda, but the same way. I think that's right. Why we're rejecting it is, no, you don't own us.
Yeah. But if I could bring back to weaponization.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So, Literally, I did not commit a crime on January 6th of any kind, and really nothing that even could be interpreted as a crime. But because I happened to be there, and because I shot a video outside of the building and uploaded it to Twitter, which absolutely established irrefutably where I was, they were like, great, awesome, let's build a case out of this. So since there was no real case, they just started making one up. So they started saying things. First of all, my case began with the FBI raiding my house, putting me in handcuffs and taking me to jail. No one ever contacted me and said, we want to ask you some questions. We want to clear some things up. We want to get, like, none of that. It started with a, like, Osama bin Laden style raiding of my home and taking me to jail. And then after I got out of jail, I learned what I was being accused of. And what's a funny fact about my case, I actually got charged with more felonies than most people who went inside the building. People who actually.
No, I remember.
I was charged with 3 felonies and a misdemeanor for 8 minutes of standing outside of the building. And here's an example. The people who went inside the Capitol on January 6th got a misdemeanor charge called occupying a restricted building. I was outside and I got a felony charge of occupying restricted grounds.
I remember they
charged me. So imagine that. I was charged with a felony for standing on the ground.
By the way, let me tell you what leaked in the Washington Post. I don't believe the Washington Post, but I know because I was told. I was indicted for occupying a restricted grounds, but even Merrick Garland thought it was too far and killed the indictment. So I was going to be in. Because I was saying, don't go in. You were just outside.
Yeah.
And remember, Owen never went in. They said his first indictment, he led them into the building.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like people hear this. They go, what do you mean? How do you indict somebody to do anything? Folks, until you've been there, you don't know. I mean, it is. And then I later learned like 3 years ago in the Washington Post 20-page article, because I already heard this from my lawyers, I was indicted and the attorney general killed it. Not because he liked me. He was just like, this is too much. I mean, the guy's out there saying don't go in.
Yeah.
So, people don't know. This is, and then now Todd Blanche has killed basically all those investigations of Martin. Ed Martin.
Well, right. And but it, so if I could say, because I want to kind of explain to people this one little piece of it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to write myself in. I'm just in it.
No. But this is the one little piece.
I can just vouch for what you're saying.
That basically began all of the weaponization against me. So they charged me with all these felonies, which is, it's called overstacking. They do this on purpose to force a plea deal because nobody wants to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and go to Washington, D.C. with a D.C. judge and a D.C. jury where you're very likely to get convicted. Yeah, oh, God. Yeah. I was facing like 35 years in prison on these charges. And so they said, all of this or we'll drop all of these felonies and charge you with a misdemeanor if you'll plead guilty. And my attorney said to me, this was back when, so there's a lot of J6 lawyers, they use this term, what they call J6 jurisprudence, which means the way that law was interpreted after January 6th became completely different. None of them, despite all their experience, had any idea how to navigate through January 6th. It was uncharted waters. Nothing like this had happened before. So my attorney said to me, it's a misdemeanor. He said, I know you're not guilty. You didn't do anything, but he was like, plead guilty to a misdemeanor. He said, they took you to jail. So he said, no one goes to jail on a first offense misdemeanor. The judge is going to give you time served. And he said, this is all going to be behind you in a couple of months. I didn't like it, but I thought to myself, all right, I can live with that. That's okay. Fine. What I didn't realize is, so when you plead guilty or you make the decision that you're going to plead guilty, the government gets to write your confession. It's called a statement of offense. So when they presented me with my statement of offense, it was just a lie from top to bottom. Said I went to the Capitol with the intention to disrupt Congress. Said that I witnessed the crowd tearing a shield away from an officer and that I screamed, take it, to encourage the crowd to take the shield from an officer. That I stood outside the building shouting, go, 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 to encourage people to go. None of this was true. None of it was true. And we went to them and we said, this isn't true. Like, I'm not willing to sign this. And they said, you sign it or you go to trial. These are your options. So I went into a very deep depression when I signed my plea deal. I mean, I was like, suicidal for like 2 weeks, just not because, but it just wasn't true. And to know that your own government can force you to say things that aren't true, literally just weaponizing the power of the government against you, it's very depressing and very demoralizing.
Well, imagine being the Proud Boys and Stuart Rhodes. They came to them and said, just say Trump sent you in there. They never even talked to Trump.
Yeah.
They never talked to Trump. And I was there when they were planning. What happens to the Antifa attacks today? Well, let's work with the police. I was there with them. They didn't plan this. So I knew they were innocent, but They would come and say, if you just say Trump sent you, it's all over.
They wanted everyone to turn on Trump. But so I said,
and then we go to
stupid bogus plea deal. And I said that I did these things, that I encouraged the crowd to take the shield and all this stuff. So the moment that I did that, see, like a normal person with a normal brain can't foresee what this all leads to. So that was the criminal part of it. The next thing that happened is because I signed that plea deal, a Soros-funded nonprofit law firm called Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law finds 8 black Capitol police officers and represents them, sues me under the KKK Act, alleging that I'm a white supremacist who went to the Capitol on January 6th.
Because you now admitted you're guilty.
To attack black police officers.
Go to prison for 35 years or sign this false statement. Then they use the false statement to sue you.
Correct. That case went on for 2.5 years and cost me about $250,000 to get through. Like, thankfully, I had a really good lawyer, and he was able, after 2.5 years, to get me out of the case. It took a lot, but it never went to trial, so... But it was that was the worst part, actually, was the civil case. But then the third, I call it the trifecta. I got the trifecta: criminal case, civil case, and I was then deposed and subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, and I had to testify before Congress on their
J6
committee.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I mean,
and I noticed they destroyed the record of that because it was so damning our testimony.
And people need to understand,
to them,
it's not just an interview. You don't just show up and it wastes 8 hours of your time. It is months of providing thousands of documents, and you have to pay lawyers for all of this. I mean, that was another $35,000-$40,000 just for document discovery from the January 6th. And you don't get to tell them no. So all in, I spent about $500,000 getting through January 6th for the 8 minutes that I stood outside of the building. I had to go through a criminal case, a civil case, the January 6th committee, and I had to go to jail. I had to get an ankle monitor and go through house arrest. And then I got 4 years of federal supervision and fines. And
you got called a traitor for signing the plea deal.
And put on the terrorism watch list, put on the Quad S list, and they didn't just come after me, they came after my organization.
And then now Trump has killed those investigations into what they did.
I'm not even aware that they ever started. So I want to give you just a really...
It was going on with Ed Martin, and Todd Blanche killed it.
Yeah, I keep telling this story. I'll make this very brief, because I know, but like, I want people to know this, and I'll make it quick. There's a January 6th defendant named Matthew Perna. He was a nonviolent guy, went inside the Capitol for, walked around, left. They came after him, charged him with all these crimes, felonies, etc. He was just the type of person who was not emotionally strong enough to, because it's very brutal what you go through.
A bunch of them committed suicide.
He's one of them. So, but the reason why he committed suicide is because it was getting dragged on for so long. They dragged these cases out. They just made it as torturous as possible. And he went to his attorney and he said, I can't take this anymore. I can't hang on. I need this to end. His attorney said to him, if you want it to end, you just need to plead guilty. Just plead guilty. And, and he said, your worst case scenario, you're looking at a year in prison for what you're charged with. It was not easy for him, but he made the decision, okay, if I have to go to prison for a year, I can get through, I can do that. So he did what his lawyer advised him to do. He pled guilty. And after he pled guilty and it was already on record, then the government came to him with a nasty trick again that no one could see coming. Okay, now that you've pled guilty and it's on the record, you already pled guilty, we're going to seek a terrorism enhancement and we're going to seek 9 years in prison for you on this terrorism enhancement. And as soon as they said that to him, he went into his garage and hanged himself. He killed himself. And the lawyer, so his Aunt Jerry has been his advocate, and she called the prosecutor in his case and said, you did this. You drove my nephew to suicide. And the prosecutor said to his Aunt Jerry, if he just could have held on, if he could have held on a little longer, we don't think the judge really would have gone for that terrorism enhancement. That prosecutor still works for the DOJ. He is still working for the Trump DOJ. So
when I was familiar with the case, I forgot that guy's name, but yeah, that person needs to be gone.
No, all of these people need to be gone.
They promoted a bunch of the J6, like the main J6 inquisitors.
Yeah,
they promoted
them. Cash and
Dan
actually gave promotions to some of these FBI agents who were actually like the architects of January 6th.
Well, it's 3D chess, Brandon. You should just shut up.
No, it certainly is not. And when I hear people in the MAGA movement, who, by the way, I have sacrificed so much for and given so much of myself for, I don't want to be sitting here having this conversation with you. And when I have people in the MAGA movement say to me, I'm sure it's happening behind the scenes. You just need to be patient. You just need to stop being so selfish. Trump is doing the best that he can. It doesn't take 2 years to fire somebody.
Well, where are the indictments? Where are the indictments? Exactly. Yeah, we're not like Democrats. We're not in a cult. And, you know, we got to just move past Trump. You're interviewing me for your podcast tomorrow. But one of the topics I hope you raise is what is coming after Trump, which you're already doing. We better start having this discussion.
Yeah, we have to.
Because I noticed the neocons I debated on your thing that'll be out soon. They just kept saying, we got to have Trump. He's the future. He's not the future.
Right. Are we going to a break or we're talking
about this? It's over, brother. We're out of time.
The interview's over?
We only got like 40 seconds left.
Oh, we can't talk about the entire future of the conservative movement in 40 seconds?
No, I got to do it on your show. I got to do it on your show.
Oh, good. Alex Jones will be on the Brandon Strzok Show in a couple of weeks.
People can find that where?
They can go to YouTube and Rumble and look up Brandon Strzok. My last name is spelled Straka. Please subscribe. Please go on there, click like, leave some comments, watch the interviews, and push them out on social. There it is. Look at that.
All right.
Please subscribe.
Well, we're going to save this country and the world, Brandon. Great job.
Hell
at
yeah.
Brandon Strzok on X. And Harrison Smith and the War Room's coming up now. Be sure and watch it on Rumble X, everywhere else, and AlexJonesLive.com. Share those links. We love you all. Thanks for the support. AlexJonesShore.com.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.